much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hey, folks. Everyone excited to be here? We having a good time?
We are not.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We're going to build a new settlement. We'll have a happy new life, and we'll have equal rights for all. Except blacks, Asians, Hispanics, Jews, gays, women, Muslims. Everybody who's not a white man. And I mean white. So no Italians, no Polish. Just people from Ireland, England, and Scotland. But only certain parts of Scotland and Ireland. Just full-blooded whites. No, you know what? Not even whites. Nobody gets any rights. America.
And now... Our feature presentation.
Look, it's probably pretty difficult to fart that song. Let's be honest. That's talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's talent right there.
Is this a callback to your calling it a fake last week?
Well, I still think
it's... Or are you coming around now?
I still think maybe it's a fake, but if it's real, it's awesome. And I need to start practicing.
We did ask, although Mug seems to be going for some sort of world record lately, but we did ask Dave to try to get the farting guy on for us. We only have 7 shows left, you know. I'd like to see that happen before the end of the year.
That's what I.
That's the go-to interview right there.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday, the 8th of double December.
How was everybody's weekend?
Good. It was really good.
Good, yeah. Thank you. You?
Kevin, you had a very busy day yesterday.
I had 2 days, yeah. It was ridiculous.
How'd it go?
It went awesome.
A lot of K-Rock listeners came down?
A lot of K-Rock listeners came down. A lot of people donated. People brought their families. And I'm talking about friends and helpers.
Mm-hmm.
We had 18 trucks full of stuff.
Jeez.
Which they then start, you know, going to the shelters and dropping off and all that kind of stuff. And
my
the
God.
Final count was over 10,000 people that were helped.
Oh, my gosh.
So to everybody that donated even $5 or whatever you could do or took families or just volunteered to wrap. It was amazing.
That gets bigger every year.
Yeah,
I don't help more people.
That's what she said. and I do find it funny, though, that basically there are about 3 different people that are there to make sure that I don't get involved in any of the organizational parts of it. Like they're my shadows. They have a little Secret Service earpiece.
It's funny that you have to be there, but they don't want you to touch anything.
He's on the move. Don't let him touch anything. So I'm not exactly the guy you want to.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it really was great.
That is awesome. Hey, here's a story to get you started. And this is going to be, I'm interested to see how people react to this story. Her name is Louisa Manning. She is 22 years old, very pretty, very smart. In fact, she goes to Oxford University. And she's at a fancy university in Britain, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she's at a dance the other night, and this guy comes up to her and asks her out on a date. And she says yes. What he doesn't know is they've met before, and she recognizes him, and he doesn't recognize her.
Oh, no.
So he shows up at the restaurant where they are scheduled to meet, and she has arranged to not be there, but instead to have the waiter at the restaurant deliver a note. Apparently, he went to school with her in middle school and relentlessly bullied her about her appearance.
Oh.
Called her fat, called her a man beast, made fun of her unibrow.
And you said she was hot now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she is now. She has blossomed. She has grown into her looks, and she has turned into a beautiful butterfly. So the waiter comes over to the guy at the restaurant and gets this hands this note to the guy. Hey, remember in 8th grade when I was fat? he thinks he's having this date with this chick. And that's the note he gets. Hey, remember in 8th grade when I was fat and you made fun of my weight? No, I do. I spent the following 3 years eating less than an apple a day. So I've decided to skip dinner. Remember the monobrow that you mocked? The hairy legs you were disgusted by? Remember how every day for 3 years you and your friends called me man beast? No, perhaps you don't, or you wouldn't have seen how I look 8 years later and deemed me effable enough to treat me like a human being. She also included a photograph of herself at age 12 and added,
wow,
next time.
She was going to make sure he knew who this was.
Yeah, because it would have kind of wasted the whole thing if he couldn't place it, right?
Right.
Next time you think of me, picture that girl in this photo because she's the one who just stood you up. Signed, Louisa.
Yeah! Oh, sweet revenge.
Pretty strong.
Is it awesome?
Oh, yes.
Or is she, I mean, she's damaged though, right? To care so much about what somebody from 8 years ago said about her?
He terrorized her at a very vulnerable age. No, I don't think she's damaged. I think it was just sweet revenge and she walks off in her high heels looking great and feels good.
There is the negative, though, of it bothering her for 8 years in the meantime. You know, like that's...
Well, we're assuming that, but...
No?
Not necessarily.
You think she was just surprised that it was him and went, all right.
This is going to be good.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
That's how I choose to believe it.
Yeah, you don't know the details, but I think...
Lisa, what would you have done had you been her and been approached by this man at the college dance?
I think I would have burst out laughing.
Yeah, how do you play
I would
that?
Have gone to that extent that she did, but I think I just...
How do you play that so smoothly?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you have said something to him, or would you just declined and
oh,
walked
no,
away?
Oh, no, I would have said something.
Really?
Yeah.
You would have, so, in other words, you would have been able to have this conversation face-to-face with the guy.
I think so. Absolutely. I mean, that's just so cruel.
But so much better that he was expecting somebody and had to wait and got the no.
Yeah.
That's way better than, I think, face-to-face then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, she's a hero to all dumpy teenagers at this point, I'll tell you that. I was pretty pissed off that he asked me out, to be honest, she said in an interview. It really made me angry. Now that I'm attractive, he instantly wants to date me. So anyway, there you go. There's some sweet revenge. And I think it goes without saying, don't treat people like this man treated her back in eighth grade.
Especially if they're hot, right? I mean, that's...
Especially if they're going to be hot. If you right. can tell that they're going to be hot, you should suck up to them now.
Right.
They'll remember that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
For this next part, are you going to want knee pads?
I hope not.
Is it that kind of sound?
Strange question.
Is it something I don't know about?
I'm hoping the answer is no. Andrew Siciliano will be here talking the NFL.
Yes.
Bean's team won.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you, Bean.
My team won.
Yeah.
Chip's team won.
Wait, really?
Nope. Chip's team lost.
Oh, wait, what?
Chip's team lost.
Oh. That hurts.
By the way, Kevin, your team was, and I know you couldn't watch because you were at the thing, your team was trailing most of that game.
Were they really?
Oh, yeah. It looked like they were going to lose that game.
And then...
But then they pulled it out.
And that's what I don't understand because we're playing our, I don't know, third quarterback.
Right.
But that doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah. They won again.
Crazy. Also on the program today, we have tickets for the sold-out 25th annual Almost Acoustic Christmas, night two. You're going to have to earn them, and it's a game that's going to be painful. That's all I can tell you. Danielle Pennebaker from The Flash is on the program today.
Oh.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. Harvey Levin from TMZ will be here, and we're going to talk to LA Times music critic Randall Roberts about the Grammy nominations.
Okay.
It came out on, was it Friday?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. All right. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
See?
What?
Turn this on.
It's on. What do you want from me?
That's why you're not part of the greatest generation, man. My microphone won't stay.
Saying I won't stay.
Suck it up, princess. Come on, buttercup. You can do it.
In Kevin's defense, the studio is falling apart around us, Ralph.
Whatever, man. All right. What about our forefathers who had to make their way across this great nation and buckboard?
I don't know.
I'm lost.
First of all, I don't know what that means. But second of all, I don't know how that's...
Stagecoaches, wagon trains. Frontiersmen who made their way, the pioneers who went across great vast expanses of unsavory land to get where they wanted to go. I think they complain. I have
it is scurvy, true, by the way, that when
I have no apples or whatever.
When Abraham Lincoln
was,
did
man.
His radio show, he didn't even have a mic stand.
There you go.
Kevin?
That's the spirit.
I didn't
being.
Know that. No,
yeah. Wow. A coal burning microphone he had to use. He didn't complain.
All right. Well, we're going to power on through and get this show going. 5:55, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Oh, and it's just all about, well,
the
that
bass?
Bass, first of all. But most of all, it's all about the Hunger Games. Mockingjay, part one. Third week in a row at number one this weekend. As we look at the top 10 movies at the box office, $21.6 million made it number one. Then, The Penguins of Madagascar with $11.1 million. Horrible Bosses 2. Big Hero 6, which, although it sounds like it, is not the sixth installment of the Big Hero franchise. Interstellar, fifth place. Dumb and Dumber 2 came in at six. And The Theory of Everything Gone Girl, The Pyramid, and Birdman came in at number two.
Why isn't Birdman a bigger movie? Right?
Well, it is not on a lot of screens.
Oh, still? Okay.
Yeah. So perhaps that's why it's not.
People should see that.
Bigger business. People are saying very kind things about that film. As they are. The fact that Taylor Swift is now making out with chicks.
Yeah.
Big story over the weekend. Star Magazine showing photos of the singer making out with Victoria's Secret model Carly Kloss. Ooh, Taylor and Carly sit in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
They do practically live together.
They are chicks who kiss.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care.
I do.
We don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care.
I do.
Oh, God. Don't care.
I do.
Don't care.
I do. I like it when chicks kiss.
Is
I care a lot about
though?
That.
Is she technically a chick?
She's
I don't
much
know.
More interesting to me now than she was 2 days ago.
It is weird, though. I did feel like the press was trying to out her, which I was uncomfortable with. That they're making a big deal about it. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand she's a celebrity and we're interested in what celebrities do, but
yeah.
I just felt a little bit uncomfortable about it. I don't care whether she's a lesbian or not. It was just weird that people are trying to...
Ralph and I prefer it.
Gotcha. You know?
I never got the sense that anyone was trying to say she was a lesbian. I think they were trying to say, look, she's making out with a Victoria's Secret model. I think that's the story. I don't care what she does sexually, but what she does publicly, when she's making out with hot chicks, that's interesting.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
That we want to see. All right. Yeah. I think we're all on the same page then.
This Cosby story won't go away.
Every day. Every day there's more.
Now a Playboy bunny has stepped forward accusing Bill Cosby of sexually assaulting her and saying that he, to her knowledge, drugged and raped at least 12 other Playboy bunnies.
In addition to the 20 women we've already heard about.
Right. PJ Mastin is her name. She said that Cosby attacked her in 1979 when she was working as a bunny manager at the Playboy Club in Chicago, where Cosby would often perform comedy. She says that Cosby lured her to his room at his hotel that night, promising they'd go out to dinner, and gave her, of course, a drink when she got to the room. And the next thing I knew, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up naked with this disgusting man next to me, she said.
Sounds bad when you say it like that.
By the way, the LAPD has announced they are investigating claims that this Judy Huth, who was the 15-year-old who was allegedly forced into a sex act in the bedroom of the Playboy Mansion here in Los Angeles, the LAPD said they are investigating this case, regardless of the time and the statute of limitations on it.
But then what's the point?
Chief Charlie Beck said he believes that the crime is worthy of investigation.
I agree, but it's odd because they can't do anything, right?
That kind of seems like a waste of resources.
That's up for lawyers to decide.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, all right.
He says whether they prosecute or not, that's the DA. That's their issue. He said this crime, because it happened within Los Angeles city limits, deserves investigation regardless of the statute of limitations. So, look, I agree. I think if the investigation can turn up some facts or some leads that lead to more significant recent cases,
yeah, I can
then
see that.
If the guy has a history of a serial kind of behavior when it comes to crime, I think investigations of past crimes certainly is warranted because it could lead to something that is currently prosecutable.
I'm with you on that.
Why do you like crime, Kevin?
I know.
Why aren't you and Bean all for letting rapists go free? I don't understand it. I'd like to understand what your situation is.
Understand.
Please
the
explain yourself. Prosecution rests, Your Honor. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Dominic Monaghan, he is 38 years old today. Actor Ian Somerhalder is 36 years old today. What do these two actors have in common? That's right.
They were both on Lost.
They were. They were both shipwrecked on that island. I don't know if they ever got off. Chargers QB Philip Rivers, he is 33 years old today. He's good.
He sure is.
He is. He's good. Now, good enough. Just came up a little short yesterday. That's right. A lot of good teams came up a little short yesterday. Nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody should just move on. Just move on and be happy with their lives. We live in a good golden era. What about those people who had to go across the vast expanses of the United States on buckboard and horse?
That's true. They didn't even have Philip Rivers.
That's right. Nicki Minaj is 32 years old today. L.A. Kings defenseman Drew Doughty is 25. Now we're talking. Hockey's a good sport.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Saturday, that was a good game, that Kings game.
Well,
it wasn't. Saturday.
I mean, it wasn't the
awesome.
Best. It wasn't the best Kings game.
Actress Katie Stevens. She's Karma on Faking It. You know, she's 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Your chance to win tickets for night number two, the sold-out night number two of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, happening in less than 1 hour from right now. Speaking of Christmas, by the way, we attempted to come up with a list of our favorite Christmas songs on the air the other day, and I would say failed pretty badly.
I think it went pretty well.
We were trying to get a consensus on a top five greatest Christmas songs of all time, and clearly we were doomed from the start because neither Kevin nor Ralph would put Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You on the list, so therefore the entire list is lame.
Says the loser.
But then the other problem is, as our listeners pointed out, is how do you talk about the greatest Christmas music of all time and not include Fruitcake? There was not a mention of Fruitcake in the entire discussion.
Yeah.
No Fruitcake, no Peace, right?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
That's an awesome song.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It is our favorite, and around this time of year, we start getting emails and tweets and Facebook page requests for a little Fred Schneider Fruitcake. Could we hear some of that, please? And then maybe we need to talk about some of the other great Christmas songs that we didn't get a chance to do when we were putting our list together.
We did only come up with four of the top five, by the way.
Now, you hated this originally, Kevin, but I think you have come around, right?
What you making? Fruitcake! What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries. Red dye number two. Green cherries. Green ones too. It's fruitcake.
No, you know, I didn't like Fred Schneider that much, but this is genius.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fruitcake. Pecans or walnuts.
She starts listing things.
Citrus peel. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
And what you feel. Sticks of butter, cinnamon, mo' molasses, lots of dark rum, artificial color,
okay.
Artificial flavor.
So it's really just a shopping
list. If your family don't want it,
exactly.
Give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
Pretty
what
tough
you
to
making?
Beat.
Pretty tough
right.
to beat right there.
So that was, heard from a lot of people that said, hey guys, what about Fred Schneider?
And then we heard from another contingent of listeners who, you know, God bless him, been with the show for a while, who said, hey, it's not Christmas for me until I hear a little story about Santa on a helicopter. Where was Wing on your list?
Oh, Wing.
This
Wing.
Sorry.
It's a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus!
There it is. There it is.
On a helicopter. Santa Claus!
Boy, that's painful.
On a helicopter.
You know what we should do, Bean, and I think this might be part of the problem, is we put one comedy song in our top five.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should take that out, finish our top five greatest songs, and then do top five funniest Christmas
That's
songs.
That's a good idea.
Oh, I
see. Then you can put
Separate
Fruitcake
list.
In there, and you can
right.
put Wing in there. Like, otherwise, we don't have room for it.
Well, I think Fruitcake makes the cut either way, but I take your point. Sure, why not?
Santa Claus, he visit us today, December 24th. Wow, it's coming right now in a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Sleigh cart.
She really wants to make that point. Listen, this is how it works. He uses a helicopter, not a traditional sleigh cart.
Not a traditional sleigh cart, because we all call it a sleigh cart.
Right.
He lives in the front yard.
Front yard.
Of a nursery.
Of a nursery.
Oh, the baby's time for moms. He feeds them well if they are hungry.
Now, we're not positive what she says there.
We're positive what she doesn't say, though, right? I know it sounds like that, but she doesn't say that.
But if it's what I heard,
it's no way to treat a baby. That's
no,
what I have
isn't.
To say.
That's correct.
All right, so that's a wing, Santa on a Helicopter, which, again, is an all-time Christmas classic. Now, I would like to present for your entertainment a new song this year that I just became hip to, that I a band I've never heard of out of the Netherlands. They are named Holy Limit. Now, this is new for this year. Whether this will eventually make the Christmas canon, whether this is going to be part of our all-time favorite holiday songs in the future on the Kevin and Meacham, I don't know. But I wanted you to hear a little bit of their song called The Christmas Dance.
Ho, ho, ho.
Very catchy, very Gangnam style.
Do the Christmas dance. Ho, ho, ho.
Like it so far.
I am back in town with my glitter crown. I'll be back every year. Everybody wants to cheer. White beard and Christmas hat, my reindeers. Just like that, I ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling with my Christmas bell. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus.
He's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm Santa Claus.
Backup singer.
I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. Santa Claus is back in town. You can stop the countdown. Now dance the Christmas dance. Just like it's the last chance.
The Christmas dance. What do you think?
Oh, oh, oh.
I love it. I love it.
Uh-huh. I feel a butt coming on.
Well, I think the other two are better than we've played so far.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do a little bit more.
Christmas here, Christmas there, weeks, months, every year. Candles, balls, and lots of joy. The snowman is a boy. The presents under the tree. Angels for you and me. I ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling with my Christmas bell.
All right, so it's no fruitcake, it's no Santa on a Helicopter, but we play it at the party, right? It makes the party.
Absolutely. By the way, all three of the songs that we just played do nothing but, like, just explain items at Christmas time.
That's right. They're just basically lists.
Reading things that are loosely associated with Christmas. So all good.
Monday morning means two things we always look forward to here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano in the 8 o'clock hour, recapping the NFL weekend that was. And right about now, us going out to the TMZ newsroom and talking to our good friend Harvey Levin on the phone. Hey, Harvey, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. I always keep in mind that Tim Allen killed a guy and did time in jail, but I guess I didn't realize that Mark Wahlberg was a felon until you started writing about it this weekend. What's going on, Harvey?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a pretty widely reported case, you know, back in the day. But, it was 1988, and he beat a guy pretty bad. He left him partially blind. He had a felony assault conviction, and it just kind of, you know, stayed. And there was
he was a pretty big star even back in the 80s, wasn't he? That was after the Funky Bunch, right?
No, I think 88 preceded it. I'm not positive of that.
Okay.
I don't think he was real big back then.
Okay.
But anyway, this has just kind of lingered. We find out he has a reason for doing this now. He wants to become a reserve police officer.
All right, hold it right there. Why would a movie star, what's that? How do you decide you want to be a cop? I mean, what's going on with that?
Well, I can answer it. I mean, you know, Shaq did that. Shaq's a reservist.
Yeah, but a cartoon reservist.
I think he's legit. I think Shaq does actual police work, and I think Steven Seagal does, too. I think there's something about law enforcement that is very attractive to some people.
Well, if you look at Mark Wahlberg's past, in terms of movies, he's done a lot of cop stuff. The Other Guys, Max Payne, The Departed.
Yeah, if Will Ferrell's my partner, I'll be a cop too.
I know.
I mean, come on.
Well, so he's doing a new movie, a new show that involves the Port of L.A. in San Pedro, and it's basically these cops that look at all the containers that come into the port. I'm not positive of this. Something tells me that this reserve thing has to do with that. I'm not positive, but I do know he wants to be a reservist, and that's why he wants to get this off his record, because he can't handle guns as long as he's got it on his record.
So if you're a felon, you're not allowed to own a gun, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things.
How do you get stuff taken? Is it always on your record unless?
Well, the felony is, unless you try to get it expunged, yeah.
So under what grounds can he make that happen, though?
You know, and this happens from time to time. I mean, people do this a lot with drug convictions, where they go to court after a certain period of time, they show they've been rehabilitated, they have a clean record, and judges do have discretion after a point. And this would be, you know, a situation. My guess is that he'll get it expunged.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's it. Look, celebrity aside, that's a reasonable thing. If you've gone 25 years without getting into any kind of trouble, you haven't beat anybody up or been involved in something like this, I think that's fair to let the guy have his record clean again.
I agree. I mean, that's a long time, and he's had a, you know, he's been great. So,
I should be a cop.
I think he's going to get it.
I should be a cop.
I don't think you should be a cop.
I should be a cop.
Why do you want to be a cop?
So I can yell, freeze, mother! All right, let's talk about somebody whose record will never be expunged because he can't go more than 2 years without getting arrested for something, and that is Chris Brown. And you have got a lot of stuff up right now about a very, what sounds like potentially dangerous love triangle, Harvey.
God, it's bizarre. I mean, you know, he and Carucci have been kind of on and off for a long time. So he starts in on Carucci, calling her an F and this, a bitch, all sorts of things, saying that she cheated with, he certainly insinuates she cheated. She dated Drake in Toronto while he was rotting in jail earlier this year. And so he just puts her on blast. And he's going crazy. He does a concert over the weekend where he's, you know, screaming F that bitch and just really going nuts. So now it's interesting. He apologized. He just apologized. He went on Instagram.
Oh. And, well, that should make it okay.
Yeah.
Well, but listen to this. Here's what he says. Now tell me this doesn't bring back shades of Rihanna.
Right.
I love hard and react impulsively when I'm hurt at times.
Yeah.
That should send chills.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's all bad.
If Chris Brown can't sustain a successful relationship with a woman, what hope do the rest of us have?
That's right.
So was it, and I've been following, I mean, this romance has been pretty well played out on TMZ.com over the last year or so. I mean, didn't he bought her a house or was paying her rent or something like that?
Paying her rent, nice house in West Hollywood. I mean, they're kind of a little bit more grown-up version of Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez.
Yeah, on again, off again, all the time. And he's complaining that she didn't come visit him enough when he was in prison and whatnot.
Only visited me once, and, you know, and he even says, you know, it's interesting, I don't know why he wrote this Instagram. I mean, it's because he knew what he was doing when he did the original one.
Right.
And he knew what he was doing when he went on stage because there was a separation of time. So I don't know whether somebody told him, you need to apologize, but, you know, ultimately he did. And Drake's pissed off because, you know, they got in that huge fight over Rihanna at Whip nightclub. They destroyed the nightclub. People did. So they supposedly did. You remember when they were on the Grammys and they did that skit and they made it look like everything was fine?
Yes.
Was in a dentist chair, I think, and Drake was... So, you know, it looked like that was all done, and I think Drake thought it was all done. And then all of a sudden, you know, Chris Brown kind of goes on the attack against Drake over the weekend. Drake is really pissed off, and he said, look, it's true Carucci was up in Toronto, but she was hanging out with this girl that I was banging. And the fact is that I don't like – Carucci's not my type because I like girls with really big asses.
Love it. I love that, first of all. And second of all, that's a step up from Chris Brown, I think, to Drake. Who could blame her if it was actually true?
Yeah.
I know.
That's funny.
It's just unbelievable.
Well, I will say, as we say goodbye here, Harvey, I will say that Chris Brown, you can't cage this guy, apparently. If he were smart, he would not be on any social media. That gets him in more trouble than almost anybody else out there because he types it as soon as it comes into his head, and it always comes back and bites him in the butt.
But you know, the weird thing is that I still can't figure out. I don't know.
Yeah, what you're saying is he partly popular because of his bad boy image, or do people like his music in spite of the fact that he's an a-hole in person? Exactly. Great point, Harvey.
We should have Mark Wahlberg go follow him around. Make sure he doesn't get into any trouble.
TMZ and TMZ Live both air on Fox Channel 11, and don't miss TMZ Hollywood Sports Monday through Friday at 5 on the Reels channel. Harvey, have a great week. Thanks for the time,
you
sir.
Too, guys. We'll see you.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39. It's funny I would slur that right then.
Kevin, could you say that again,
6:39.
Please? 6:39.
Yeah.
Here's why Kevin is awesome, because and we laugh about this all the time. Every time a story comes out about anything that's voice activated, like Siri, for instance, on your phone.
Yeah.
What happens when you try to use that, Kevin?
For some reason, my voice just doesn't cut through, and none of those systems work for me. None of them. Siri, in your car, you know, you can say call whoever.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They cannot tell what I'm saying, ever.
So even though you speak very slowly, very clearly, enunciate the best you possibly can,
yep,
for whatever reason, they just don't. There's something about the frequency in your voice that just doesn't cut through. Or
yeah,
what?
It must be that it just doesn't cut through. I don't know, but it's none of those things work for me.
Ever. Well, I have bad news for you, because apparently this is the future. This article is about a company called Fast Company, and they are working on the problem of drunk driving. They're trying to figure out a way to stop drunk drivers. Now, we all know that one of the things that has become pretty popular, and a lot of times if somebody is convicted of drunk driving, they'll have to put this in their car, is a breathalyzer in the car, where they have to blow into it, and your alcohol content is tabulated. And if you're too drunk to drive, the car will not start.
By the way, that seems like a pretty good plan.
It's a great plan. Mm-hmm. It's a great plan. But this company, Fast Company, says, hey, what if there was an interview instead? What if you get in the car and the car says, hey, how you doing? And you have to answer a couple of questions. What if there's a speech algorithm that can be constructed where the car can tell if you are drunk based on listening to you talk?
So I sit down in the car and
yes.
And then I get questioned by it?
Yes. Fast Company speculates that the voice recognition system will be developed into a tech device that could be installed in cars and prevent people from driving drunk. The idea is that your car will be able to detect if the driver has been drinking by asking the driver a few questions and analyzing their responses. If the driver is intoxicated, the car can prevent them from driving while drunk. Almost a chattier version of the breathalyzer devices that prevent people from driving drunk now. Look, I'm for anything that stops people from getting behind the wheel of a car while they're inebriated.
I agree, but I sound drunk a lot when I'm not. I also sound drunk when I am, but then when I'm not, I slur a lot too, so.
I mean, you could just put a breathalyzer on every car, but would that be more expensive? Is that the deal?
Probably so, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the science is involved in a breathalyzer, but that sounds expensive too. Something that can actually perform a chemical test like that
But
on
they
your
do
car.
Have them.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They do have. So, I don't know, Kevin. I don't know if this is for you, but you may not have any choice down the road.
Well, I mean, I did try one this morning.
You tried from Fast Company? This
yeah.
thing? The drunk speech?
They sent it over, and, you know, I just, this morning before I came into work, I just.
Well, why didn't you say something? Well, how did
I'm
it work?
Saving out. Well, I'll play it for you.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap, I'm so late for work. K-Rock work. I have to go to the radio.
You sound drunk.
I'm not drunk. I just woke up. I'm in need to go work. I sound sometimes drunk.
You sound drunk.
I hate you. Your stupid, dumb, absurd car. I need to be not going. K-Rock work!
You sound really f***ed up.
Oh, I hate you. Why are you so stupid? I'm gonna go work if you don't start car start?
You should go lie down.
I lie down! I have to go work. I have to talk about funny things. I have to hang up on celebrities. I have things to do. Please car start now.
Why do you sound so f***ed up?
I had a granola bar, okay? I had a granola bar, and it makes my mouth dry and sounding drunk.
Granola bars? I don't buy it, asshole.
Oh! That's it. I will fight you. I will fight this whole car, and I'll punch it. And this. I'll drive potty bus to work.
Oh, there you go. At least you got a backup option.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
I just don't know why you guys are racist. That's all. I just don't understand.
What are you talking about?
That's all I'm saying. You're all pro-racist. So
no,
that's how you roll.
I don't understand
that's
that at all.
Okay. Then let's so be it.
All right.
25 years
You'll
later,
be hearing
though.
From my lawyers.
25 years later, though. Mark, they can clean Mark Wahlberg's record, can't they, Ralph, or no?
Hey, look, man.
Did something like that stick for
us? I'm cool with racism. That's all I'm
not cool with racism.
Apparently,
at all.
You are. That's fine for you.
But I'm saying
I'm not judging.
Lots of teenagers make mistakes. It shouldn't haunt them for the rest of their lives if they've turned it around. That's all I'm saying.
I understand. Some people think racism's okay. I get that. And that's up to you, Beam. If that's the way you roll, look.
Look, I have nothing against the Vietnamese.
That's how things are on the island, I guess.
Well, I have nothing against the Vietnamese, but yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day, so I'm still a little bit sore about that. Wow. Hey, time for the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Hey, what happened with
the
guy?
Here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war is on, everybody.
Race war is not.
It's going down.
It's not going down. It's not on. It's not a race war.
1988. All right, what's the question, Ralph? What happened with what?
What happened with the guy last night with the snake, with the anaconda eating him? What happened?
Oh, don't get me started on that nonsense.
I want to get you started because I don't know what happened. I haven't read anything.
I saw some tweets that were very angry. Like what a letdown or...
What happened?
I know you are loathe to look at my Twitter, but I did tweet out the link to just the 2 minutes where the snake was touching the guy. And
touching
it was
the guy?
What do you mean, touching
him? Molested? The Bill Cosby snake?
Essentially, the guy, it was one of those shows on Discovery Channel where there's an hour and 57 minutes of buildup and then 2 minutes of nothing really happening. Basically, the snake came and got close to the guy, and then he started complaining that his arm hurt, and they pulled him out, and that was it. He didn't get eaten. He didn't get eaten alive. He didn't get eaten at all.
The show is called Eaten Alive. Didn't happen?
No,
did the snake wrap around him and try to constrict him?
That's right.
So it tried to crush him before it ate him.
Yes.
That's how constrictors eat their food, by the way.
That's right.
They constrict it and they keep it from breathing
hurts.
And it dies.
Pull me out. So then they pulled him out and that was it. That was the end of the show. It was one of the biggest ripoffs in all of hype TV.
And not just an hour of hype. Two
hours, yes.
Oh.
But anyway, I did tweet out just that little 2 minute part where he pussied out, and you're going to be grateful you weren't watching it last night.
I was just curious to know what happened with the snake, man.
A lot of people in the audience looked pissed.
They should have been.
Did you get your money back?
I didn't pay anything for it.
Oh, that's right.
And I didn't
watch
it.
Shut up, everybody!
Although they stole 2 hours of time from people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have been so ticked, though, Kevin, if you'd have tuned in and that's what happened?
Yeah. If you're tuning in to watch a show about a guy being eaten by a snake in a magic snake suit.
Right.
You deserve 2 hours of your life taken away from you.
But if you're tuning in for a guy getting eaten by a snake, and that's how they sell it, and then there's no guy getting eaten by a snake.
You're still tuning in to watch a man being eaten by a snake, by the way. So bad on you.
But at least when you watch the guy walk across the wire in the Chicago skyline, at least the guy walks across the wire in the Chicago skyline. At least it happens. At least there's some payoff.
Yeah, but that's also a guy actually doing something.
Yeah.
Well. It's that guy just giving himself up to a snake because they ain't eating me.
And then my arm hurts. That was the end of it?
Yeah, that was the end of it.
Did you say, I'm hot? That's
insane. Was he in a tornado fire? I'm confusing my shows, I think. Anyway, I was just curious to know if anybody knew what happened. I'm glad Bean did, or else that would have been a stultifying few minutes of radio right there. I do know this. Speaking of things that are happening, director Peter Jackson is getting his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. If you're a big fan of Peter's, and why wouldn't you be? Look at the body of work this dude has.
Yeah, amazing.
You can go down there in front of the Dolby Theater at 6801 Hollywood Boulevard. That's right in front of Hollywood and Highland. And see him get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm sure it is just a coincidence that it seems to happen around the same time that the new Hobbit film is coming out. I'm sure it has nothing to do with that.
Why would you even bring that up?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Helping him unveil the star will be Orlando Bloom, Evangeline Lilly, Luke Evans, Lee Pace, Richard Armitage, Elijah Wood, and Andy Serkis, stars of the new Hobbit movie. So, see that. It looks like it's confirmed. Benedict Cumberbatch will be Doctor Strange. Doctor Stephen Strange.
Yeah, forgive us for not knowing
Doctor
Strange is.
I don't understand most of the references you make, Ralph.
I can't start my car either.
Can't do that either.
Dr. Stephen Strange is the Sorcerer Supreme. The man who protects the world from the dark arts, the occult. He is our protector, and he is one of the greatest sorcerers known to man.
Obviously.
Now, does he fit into any of the other storylines of characters that we're familiar with?
Oh, yes. He's worked with the Avengers in the past, and he knows Hulk very well, and they're all connected. So I'm sure Cumberbatch at some point will cross swords with Tony Stark or someone like that. So.
I don't even know what that is.
We're in for good times. You guys, by the way, When we talk to Danielle Panabaker today, don't embarrass yourselves, would you please?
Well, don't ask any dumb questions.
Yeah, I mean, she's on The Flash is an enormously popular show. They're doing a great job over there.
She's Supergirl, right?
No, oh, sweet Jesus. See, this is what I'm afraid of. So Dr. Caitlin Snow. Dr. Caitlin Snow, who, by the way, also secretly is Killer Frost in the comics. And I'm just dying to know if there's a Killer Frost plan for her.
That was my first question. And I was going to ask that.
She works along Cisco Ramon there at Star Labs, who, of course, as we know, also eventually becomes Vibe. So that's happening.
Ralph, you might need to help us out with that. If you don't want us to ruin it,
just open up a blog, man. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Just saying myself.
Okay. Yep. We're all just saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dominic Monaghan of Lost is 38 years old today. His co-star from Lost, Ian Somerhalder, celebrates his 36th birthday. Chargers QB Philip Rivers turns 33. Rapper Nicki Minaj, 32 years old today. LA Kings defenseman Drew Doughty is 25. And actress Katie Stevens, she is lovely and charming and funny on Faking It over there on MTV. She plays Karma on that series. 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have some tickets for night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Do people need to know anything, or they just call?
Yes. We are looking for No Doubt fans this time around. Okay. No Doubt, of course, just added to the bill on Thursday. They're going to round out a great lineup, including Imagine Dragons and Interpol, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, Vance Joy, Weezer, and Alt-J. But if you're a No Doubt fan, we're looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. You can earn your way in. Coming up next, after this on K-Rock, DJ Omar Khan.
What's up?
Welcome to Kevin's Beach, my friend.
What's
How are
up?
You?
Good, man. How are you?
DJ Omar Khan.
Should we even point people in your direction if they're looking for a DJ for the holidays, or are you all booked up?
I'm all booked up, but I am booking for spring weddings and summer weddings. So if you need a DJ for a wedding or any kind of event next year, hit me up at djomarkhan.com or just email me directly at omar@karaoke.com.
But now, I will tell you that Omar won't play certain songs even if you want him to.
That is true. That is true.
He's got a list of songs
he does have a no YMCA policy, if I recall correctly.
No YMCA, no Macarena, F that noise.
But they're paying you.
Screw that. Whatever. They're paying me not to play it.
They don't even know it, but they are. Well, the reason we asked Omar in is because we want to give away some tickets for night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas show, which is coming up very fast, by the way. It's this Sunday at the Forum. These tickets are on the floor, but No Doubt fans, I apologize in advance for what you're about to hear, because it's time to play Omaroki.
Oh, yeah.
As a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
So, you're going to be singing No Doubt songs?
No diggity.
And you've heard these songs before, because sometimes I feel like you're just guessing at the lyrics. But you know these numbers pretty well. You probably played them all, right?
Like the back of my hands.
Okay. That's the front. Omar, you're holding out the front right now.
Oh.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. We have No Doubt fans on the line. All they have to do is tell us what the title is of the song that Omar is singing for you. And if you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets.
All right. Sorry in advance. I hope somebody's clock radio wakes them up while Omar is singing, because that would be a nightmare. Annie is our first contestant in Los Angeles. Hi, Annie.
Hey, Kevin Bean. What's going on?
Hi, Annie. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for joining us. We apologize. You're about to listen to Omar sing. Just tell us what song he's singing from No Doubt, okay?
Let's do this.
The waves keep on crashing on me for some reason, but your love keeps on coming like a thunderbolt. Come here a little closer, 'cause I wanna see you, baby, real up close. Get over here.
I didn't know it was a Tom DeLonge song. What the hell are you doing there, Omar? All right, Annie, what is it?
Hella Good.
Hella Good is correct.
The waves keep on crashing.
Hella Yeah. Listen to how much better Gwen sounds singing that song than Omar sounds.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Al in Riverside. Hi, Al.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi there, Al.
Did that last song sound anything like Hella Good to you from Omar?
No, it did not.
No, it did not.
Nope.
All right, good luck with this one.
So why do we choose the boys that are naughty? I don't fit in, so why do you want me? And I know I can tame you, but I just keep trying.
Have you heard that song?
Sounds just like it.
All right.
Al?
Take a guess if you don't know.
Let's go with Ex-Girlfriend.
Sorry.
We choose the boys that are naughty.
Nope.
You know, not at all.
You don't get to sing along with it. And
the bathwater, Al, but thanks for playing.
Get a band behind me.
Yeah.
Rock that.
Let's go to Renee.
Listen, if Gwen smashes her face before the show.
On a bike accident.
Exactly. I'm there.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, this is Renee.
Yeah, Renee.
Hi.
I thought we had already established that, but okay. Who's this calling, please?
This is Renee.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Hold on, guys. I'm sorry. Who's on the phone?
This is Renee.
Okay, got it now. All right. All right, listen up. Here's Omar.
Hey, is this Renee?
Yes.
Okay.
The moment that I step outside, so many reasons for me to run and hide. I do the little things I hold so dear, because all those little things that I fear.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Oh.
One more time.
Nope. Can't do it one more time.
Bye, Renee.
No more times. Sorry, Renee.
The moment that I step outside.
No, you don't get to sing with just a girl and make it sound like your version was great.
If it had sounded like that, she would have known.
I'm just a girl. Leave me the hell alone.
That's true. I've heard that song 100,000 times.
And this is the best you've ever heard it before.
And
thank you.
Never would
really
have identified that as
the compliment.
Just a
compliment. It really means a lot to me.
Let's go to Richard. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Richard.
Good. Thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you for turning on the light. Thank you. Now you're the parasite. I didn't think you had it in you. And now you're looking like I used to.
Don't speak.
Sorry, that's a
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
All right, so far Annie's looking pretty darn smart on line one.
How you feeling, Omar?
No,
I'm rocking it. These people are
terrible.
Idiots.
Omar's very happy with his performance
yes,
so far.
I am.
Yes,
let's try to get somebody else in the drawing. So far we're 1-for-4. Who's next? Peter is next in Granada Hills. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Peter.
Peter, how you been doing? Listening on hold, sir.
Not too bad. Got a couple.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Oh, good. All right, good luck to you.
There's times where I want something more, someone more like me. There's times when this dress rehearsal seems incomplete.
Okay, all right. Omar!
Sorry.
All right.
Asshole!
Peter.
Is it, It's My Life?
Oh.
So sorry. Underneath
sorry,
it all.
Underneath it all. But in your defense, that didn't sound anything like
it. You guys are not No Doubt fans.
All right, I think I have only the strength maybe for one more contestant.
All right, so if Stephanie doesn't get it, then Annie automatically wins.
Yes.
Correct.
All right. Stephanie, hi.
Hi.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You and me, we used to be together. Every day together, always. I really feel that I'm losing my best friend. I can't believe this could be the end.
I hope it's the end. I think Stephanie's got it, though.
Yeah.
Don't speak.
Yes, yes. That is Don't Speak.
All right, mercifully, we're done with singing. We have one final bit of business, and that's, is it Annie or is it Stephanie, Lisa? Who's going to be on the floor Sunday night with us for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost to Christmas to see No Doubt and everybody?
The winner's Annie.
Yay! Annie! Congratulations, Annie.
Thank you so much. I speak Omaroki, I guess.
We will see you Sunday night.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us next hour to talk things football. Also, Randall Roberts from the Los Angeles Times will talk about the Grammy nominations from Friday. And got another chance for you to win tickets, this time on the floor for both nights of this weekend's Acoustic Christmas Concerts. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. It's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about these bizarre moments that happen to people. Huge surprises. You were in a place, a location, you thought you knew what was going on, and then all of a sudden, everything changed. Ralph brought us this story last week at the W Hotel. There's a jazz night.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were sitting there, and they were enjoying the jazz band, I imagine. I don't know. I'm not into jazz. And then Prince walked up. Prince.
Oh, my God.
And said, hey, how about if we play a song together? And apparently they did Beatles cover.
And so now everybody at the W is watching the jazz band and Prince. That's insanity.
Yes. They hand him a guitar, and he apparently does an amazing just rave on with a little help from my friends. I think we have just a tiny piece of the tape, but you can even hear the audience is just there. They can't believe what's happening in front of them. Prince is 5 feet away. By the way, I'm looking at this video. Literally, the audience is 5 feet away.
Yeah.
Prince just walks up and starts playing on this tiny little stage at the W Hotel. Apparently, it's Ryan and Nikki. They're the performers that are up on stage doing jazz, and they cover that song.
So we're going to take some calls if you've had a surprise moment where something unbelievable happened that you didn't see coming. Dave, the King of Mexico, is in here.
Hi, guys.
Dave?
Yeah, so at one of our shows, or I think it was Inland Invasion or something, I was walking into the lobby and I saw Robert Smith from The Cure playing piano.
In the lobby of the hotel?
In the lobby of the hotel. And he wanted to party, so I said, hey, why don't you just come back to my room? As a joke, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I have beer, let's party. And he said, sure. So...
No, Dave, not that kind of party.
Hold on a second, Dave.
Yeah.
Where do you get the stones to invite Robert Smith up to your hotel room?
I think I can answer that. He's not a huge fan.
I am not a huge fan. No, not
right.
at all.
So,
why would you invite some random guy then that you're not a huge fan of to come?
Because it's Robert Smith, and you know,
thinking, oh, this is going to be a great story? Oh, this, you know,
no, I just wanted a party,
and part of it was yeah. Omar, who you just heard destroy, no doubt. Huge Cure fan.
Yep.
And Dave started calling him immediately, and Omar was passed out and missed the whole thing.
So what did Robert Smith do up in your room?
Hang out. We had we had some drinks, and a bunch of people started coming over. You know, I called our music director, woke her up, and, you know, she came by, and we just had a big party till about 4 a.m. And even the hotel manager came by and, you know, we hung out.
Did you keep calling Omar?
All night. I wouldn't let him. Anyone I knew who liked The Cure, I gave him a call and everyone showed up except for Omar.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So what did he do in your room for all that time?
He really just hung out and was drinking and, you know, just relaxing.
Didn't
just,
some of the other members of The Cure show up and you turned them down?
Yeah, I guess the bassist, Perry.
The bassist
he knocked on my door and I said, sorry, dude, it's a private party. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know you. And then someone told me that was the bassist. And I said, oh, okay, come on in. Yeah, you're fine. So, it was cool.
We're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067, where some sort of magical moment happened in front of you that you weren't expecting. Now, does it have to involve a celebrity, Kevin? I guess we're looking for?
For the most part, it would
involves
be
a celebrity. Okay. Yeah. I told you guys last week when Ralph did this story and we hatched the idea of doing this as a phone topic that my wife was at an airport one time, and I don't remember what city it was in.
By the way, the story Bean's about to tell you is Mad Libs. This is this is the most insane story ever.
This is actually a true story. So she's sitting in an airport, and a guy comes and sits down next to her that she starts chatting. Nope, wasn't like that at all. It really, really wasn't like that in this case.
Oh.
So she starts chatting with this guy and offers him gummy bears, which he had never had before in his life before. And she ended up having about a 20 to 30 minute conversation with this sweet old man sitting next to her enjoying gummy bears together. That young man, nope. That young man was... the Dalai Lama.
Yay!
What?
The Dalai Lama was her seatmate there at the airport for about 20 minutes.
Oh,
And she said he was so funny and so sweet and so nice, and they just talked about all sorts
of stuff.
Are you
sure it wasn't a look-alike or something? I mean...
No, it really was the Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama walking through an airport, sitting down and trying gummy bears.
Gummy bears. Yeah, that's her story. I mean, we'll get her on someday and talk about it if you want. But
was she on shrooms at that moment?
Nope. He had his people with him, too. I mean, he had people that were traveling with him, you know, his handlers or whatnot. But the Dalai Lama apparently the super fun guy, and she just had the best time. So that's one of those moments.
You said the Dalai Lama is a super fun guy.
Doesn't he seem like a fun guy? He's
no.
He's always a bummer.
He seems like a downer.
Yeah. Really? I don't get that picture. I see him smiling
guy,
all the time.
Zen.
Well, it is exactly what we're talking about, though. It's 1 minute you're just wasting time sitting in an airport, and the next minute you're having an all-time conversation with the Dalai Lama and enjoying some gummy bears. So let's take one call before the break, again, at 1-800-520-1067. For instance, how about Lang on line three calling us from Santa Monica?
Hey, Lang.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, Lisa Mary.
Hi there.
Okay. Well, I used to work at Gladstone's on the ocean years ago.
Okay.
And what happens is that when it's your birthday, you get this big free piece of cake, and we get all the waiters together, as many as you can, because the more waiters you have to sing happy birthday, the less crappy you sound.
Okay.
So we're all standing there, and it was bad, really bad. And four tables away, all of a sudden, this man started kicking up and singing happy birthday, and it was Stevie Wonder.
How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Stevie Wonder started singing happy birthday with you guys.
Oh, no, we shut up. When he sang, everybody just shut up and let him finish it, and it was amazing.
That's the right move.
Yeah.
And did you even know he was there, by the way?
Oh, yeah. When anybody celebrity comes in, the managers get all up in a heave and freak out and make sure that everyone's taking care of whoever it is at the time. But I wasn't at his table, but, yeah, just four tables away, he was sitting, and I'm like, man, I hope you pipe up, dude, because we suck.
That is awesome.
I'm trying to guess your accent. I'm going go Patriots.
Hell no, Packers, man.
Packers. All right, take it easy. I was just guessing.
All right, thanks for the call, Lang. We really appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067, a magical moment that you were a part of. We want to hear your story. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Actress Danielle Panabaker from The Flash joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Rob's got the showbiz beat coming up, too. But first, talking about crazy stories of you and celebrities partying. You had no idea it was coming, and then all of a sudden you're in the right place at the right time. Wendy writes in, I was having a birthday one year. A friend took me to Yankee Doodles in Santa Monica for a drink. Once we were there, we bumped into Woody Harrelson, told him what was going on, and he stayed with us at the bar, invited his friends to celebrate with us, bought us drinks, and a birthday cake for me, too. It was an awesome birthday celebrating with Woody Harrelson.
That's
not what she was
good.
Expecting when she was going out for the evening, right?
That's pretty
Love
cool.
That.
All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Corey. He's on line two, please, in L.A.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hi.
Tell us about your sighting.
So I was like 15 years old at the time, and I was in Sun Valley, Idaho for New Year's. My dad was upstairs doing what adults do in the ballroom, and I'm downstairs in the game room playing Galaga or something like that, and then this guy taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around, and it's Clint Eastwood, and he looks at me and he says, you want to play pool?
What? Were you the only two people in the room?
No, it was just like, it was him and I guess his girlfriend or wife or whatever, Sandra Locke, and they wanted to play doubles pool. So they asked me and some other kid that was there, and so we played pool with Clint Eastwood, and yeah, it was the craziest New Year's.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard. Now, you said you were 15 at the time, but you knew who Clint Eastwood was, right?
This was like when whatever the last Dirty Harry movie was that came out.
That's so awesome.
It was Dirty Harry that had like Guns N' Roses in it and all that sort of stuff. So like right at that time, like all that stuff was white hot. So I was just like, oh my God, it's freaking Dirty Harry.
Yeah, and when you're 15, if he asks you to do something, you say yes. You don't have any
exactly.
option.
Who knows what the consequences are?
That's crazy.
That's a great story, man. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Preston. He's in Sylmar. I can't even believe this story. This is amazing.
Hey, Preston.
What it do, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May?
What it do?
What it do indeed.
You had a moment. What was it?
Oh, it was awesome. Me and my wife flew out to Seattle, the Gorge, to see Soundgarden, the Stone Age. On our way home, we were on standby, missed two flights. Third flight, they bumped us to first class. We're sitting next to Chris Cornell on the way home.
Yeah!
Oh, that's
so
strong.
You flew all the way to Washington to see Soundgarden perform, and then you ended up sitting next to him on the plane home to California.
Yes, sir. It was awesome. You know, I didn't even realize it. He's just like, hey, you're Chris Cornell. Yes, sir. And then just talked about music, and it was really cool. Kept it mellow, but awesome, awesome guy that guy was.
I like the start of that when you say, hey, you're Chris Cornell, because that's sort of like everybody's first instinct is just to, like, double check that what you're seeing is right.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear Chris's version of this story. So
me
then
too.
I sit next to this guy who was such a pain in the ass. He wouldn't stop talking to me.
I just wanted to rest.
I couldn't keep my mouth shut. My wife was like, leave him alone, please.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for the call. By the way, I've never got on a plane and ended up sitting next to a celebrity. I did sit next to a Playboy Playmate once, and that was cool. My wife
nailed her, right?
My wife, again, she sat next to Moby on a plane once.
I sat next to Ben McKenzie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, on the way back from, I forget where, Belize, I think. And he was super nice. We just talked for, you know, I didn't want to bother him. So we had a very short conversation and then just sat together.
And just watched him intently.
Yeah,
all right, let's go to, let's go to Billy, please. Line 8.
All right. Hi, Billy.
Hey, gang. How you doing? Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Unexpected moment. What happened?
Well, I was having breakfast in what used to be the Beverly Hills Cafe. This is a long time ago, about 1984. And it's on the corner of Wilshire and La Cienega. And I'm sitting at the counter, and in walks John Belushi. And he kind of looks at the restaurant, and everybody turns around and looks at him. And he just kind of slithers over to the seat, one seat away from me, and starts having breakfast. And I struck up a conversation with him, and I wound up having a great conversation with him, but it kind of had a sad ending to it all.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say so.
Well, no, it was because the next day he passed away at the Chateau Marmont.
Oh, the very next day.
That's why this story is kind of crazy. I mean, look, everybody has run into a celebrity at some point, but the fact that you ran into him and the next day he died, this must have freaked you the F out.
Completely. Totally.
I think I blame you.
No, really.
How many other days in his life did he sit next to you and have breakfast?
And then he got to the hotel and he evaluated his life and he said, seriously, if guys like Billy are where my life is headed, I'm out.
Two books out. Mm-hmm. Chris Stein from Blondie has an amazing photo book out,
okay,
which is really cool. It's all his photos. With, you know, it was with Blondie touring and private photos with Deborah Harry and stuff. There's even a picture of Joan Jett in a dress.
Wait, what? Yes.
And then yours truly's in there.
In a dress?
And it's just an incredible book. Oh. And then there's another book out.
Why are we...
Two books. Okay, one book.
And it's called...
We have Book Tuesdays.
Gather Together. And it's a book by Frank Lee Asandrio. And it's Jim Morrison. And it's like all the friends of Jim Morrison, interviews with people talking about Jim Morrison.
So not Jim Morrison, but his
and Frank
friends.
Frank Lee Saudernardo went to school with Jim Morrison and knows all the gossip and all the stories about Jim Morrison. Okay. So it's a new book, Jim Morrison.
You should mention Jim Morrison.
Friends Gathered
Together.
What do
they talk about in the book, though?
And it's all these interviews of people.
About who?
Who remember Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
Personal friends of Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
It's a really good book. Printed very well.
Oh, it's printed well.
Oh, good.
Those kind
sloppy printed books. The ones you get where the letters and words are all smudged and you can't make them out that you so often see at Barnes & Noble.
Well, if you're looking for something for the hard-to-buy-for person on your Christmas list, apparently there's a new book out
about. That's two new books.
Right.
Blondie. Don't make us go back.
Hey, it's Monday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Look, Mondays suck.
Yes, they do.
Everyone hates Mondays. You had a great weekend. And look, there's two scenarios. Both of them equally suck.
Okay.
One is you had a very restful weekend. You're relaxed. You finally unwound from whatever stresses in your life force you to be uptight and bound up like a clenched fist.
Right.
By Sunday night, you start to just, finally, okay, I feel human again. Boom! Monday, you got to jump right back into that rat race.
Okay, that's one.
Or, second case scenario, woohoo, it's the weekend, I'm going to party my face off, I'm drunk and I'm hungover and Sunday night I'm so exhausted from all the partying, I just want to sleep, just give me a taste. No! Get back to work or school, go! You go now!
Yeah, it's usually Monday when you need a weekend.
That's what I'm saying. So either way, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Monday's brutal.
Agreed.
So to make it a little bit easier, let me give you something. Let me give you a little something to take the edge off of Monday. How about a Guardians of the Galaxy Blu-ray combo pack?
Yay!
Guardians of the Galaxy, one of, if not my favorite film of the year.
It was great.
It's an outstanding film. Not just a great superhero movie, a great movie. James Gunn, the director, did brilliant work with. He made you care about characters even most comic book fans didn't know existed. It's maybe the best Marvel comic book movie, and that's. Can you imagine saying that about that universe of movies? From the movies Iron Man, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. I mean.
But this was a 10.
It just was a home run. Blu-ray, Guardians of the Galaxy, plus front of the line passes to meet the director, James Gunn, at his signing of the Blu-rays this Friday at Amoeba, the record store down there on Sunset. So you get to meet James Gunn, you get to get your Blu-ray signed, front of the line passes, and the Blu-ray combo pack.
And just like that, Mondays aren't so bad.
See, there you go. Thank you, Kevin, for bringing it all around again.
No worries.
1-800-520-1067. First four callers through at that phone number will get this amazing Guardians of the Galaxy prize. Get James Gunn, by the way. He has done good work for a long time, and I'm so happy to see him finally get recognized. And now he's one of the biggest director stars in the world. He can do anything he wants.
When we had him on, too, I was really impressed with him. Super smart guy. Really fun.
Hey, you know, he directed Slither, Bean. He directed The Slither.
Really?
Yes.
With Elizabeth Banks?
With Elizabeth Banks. I remember when you interviewed Elizabeth Banks, you brought that film up with her. Because I think you were not exactly sure what role she played in Slither.
I was asking for some clarification, I think.
I have some tape if you...
I'd love to hear some tape.
Want to hear?
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Beans?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
That's
too long to be a moment with.
Back then.
God damn it, Beans.
In the Slither days. What did you do back then?
I have no idea why that was so awful. I really don't. I have no memory of why that was so terrible.
Because you loved her so much that you were tongue-tied?
You were trying to just, I know. I have deep cuts into your album of life. I'm going to be able to talk about all kinds of things.
And then we have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here.
Right,
because
yes.
We're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
I agree.
Agreed. Yeah. That guy's right. Whatever that guy says.
That guy's right, except for he wears his watch outside of his pants.
That's what I've heard.
J.K. Rowling's in the news.
Guilty.
No, she's not charged with anything.
She drugged a bunch of models,
no,
right?
No, that's Bill Cosby you're thinking
of.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
It's understandable. Very different. You had got J.K. Rowling.
Very different.
With Bill Cosby. They both love pudding. But she is putting up 12 new Harry Potter short stories.
Oh, that's interesting.
She was all done with Harry Potter until she wrote something else that no one bought. And now Harry Potter seems very interesting to her again. 12 new Harry Potter short stories this month. You have to view them online at the official Harry Potter website, Pottermore. But the new stories will be released beginning Friday, December the 12th. And the website said there will be a new Pottermore Christmas surprise every day up until Christmas Eve. So it's like an advent calendar of Harry Potter stories.
Huh.
The Harry Potter fan site, Snitch Seeker, claims the stories are going to center on Draco Malfoy. And Florian Fontescue, so...
Sure.
If you're fans of those characters, you're going to get a big, big dose of those. Please enjoy.
Why doesn't she just write another Harry Potter book? Clearly, that's what she wants to do.
She's parsing it out. She's whetting your appetite. It's little hors d'oeuvres of Harry Potter, as opposed to a big old meal.
Is it going to be followed by
a
dinner?
I don't know, man. Huh. Keeps whetting your appetite. Yeah. Man. It keeps you on the hook. She's a pusher, man. She's a Potter pusher. Thank you, Rodney knows. Today's celebrity birthdays, Katie Stevens. She plays Karma on Faking It. She's adorable and talented, 22 years old today. Drew Doughty's 25 years old. L.A. Kings defenseman.
One of the best in the league.
Yeah. Kings look great this year.
Shut up, Ralph.
They do. They're having a good season.
Ralph's saying this because the Flyers beat them on Saturday.
Look, the Flyers are not having a good season. We have like 9 wins. But one of them came on Saturday.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj is 32. Chargers QB Philip Rivers, he is 33 years old today. I was pulling for them last night. I really was. But turns out those Patriots are a pretty good team.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm very disappointed that the Patriots won that game because I so wanted the Bieber curse to be real.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about that. Ian Somerhalder, 36. Dominic Monaghan, his Lost co-star, is 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Mm-hmm.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 808.
What, Ralph? Why are you giving
us
that look?
Just don't embarrass us. Just stand aside. Just get out of the way.
We're going to embarrass you. We're going to be fine.
Because you're not. You don't know anything about what we're about to talk about, and it's just going to be a big cluster.
We're all very excited about actress Danielle Pennebaker on the phone. She's on a little show that we like to call The Flash. Hit it, Steve.
My name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive. When I was 11, my mother was murdered. I saw a ball of lightning. Inside the lightning was a man. He killed my mom.
I swear to God, I didn't do this.
Where's mom?
What happened that night was impossible. Then an accident made me the impossible. You were in a coma.
For how long?
9 months.
Your muscles should be atrophied, but they're in a state of cellular regeneration.
I wasn't the only one affected, was I?
We've been searching for other metahumans like yourself.
So can we say hi to Danielle and then you'll talk to her?
Yes, just say hi and then just stop.
Hi, Danielle.
Good morning.
Good morning, Danielle.
Well, come on, I get to say
no,
hi.
No, you don't. Don't ruin this.
Ralph wants you all to himself because he's been looking forward to this moment all season long.
Danielle, I have to explain to you that I'm the huge geek on the show.
I love it.
The giant comic book nerd. And Kevin and Bean just have no idea about The Flash or Arrow or anybody else. So I just didn't want them to embarrass themselves.
Hey, I watch Arrow regularly and The Flash as well. But doesn't mean I know a lot about it.
But the two crossover episodes, most recently, these two episodes that you guys had, that must have been enormous fun to get all the cast together.
It was so great. I mean, for me especially, those people are all friends of mine as well, everybody on Arrow. So it's just, it doesn't feel like work. It's just play to get to hang out with everyone every day.
Now let's talk about Caitlin Snow. Dr. Caitlin Snow, you work there at Star Labs. You're sort of one of Barry's keepers. You're helping him develop his newly found speed powers. And it's just exciting to watch this show because you guys really pay a lot of homage and sort of you're very conscious of the history of the character, and you guys really do service The Flash the way the fans love it.
We try. We do our best. It's really exciting. I don't know if you guys heard, but Mark Hamill is coming for one of our episodes later this year. I think it's so because he was in the 90s version of The Flash. I mean, the people that we keep getting to come play with us, it's incredible.
Oh, just Mark Hamill?
Yeah, he was the trickster.
I mean, the list goes on and on. Last week was Victor Garber on set all week. It's so cool.
Now, it looks like this the next episode we finally get to meet the Reverse Flash, who, of course, is responsible for Barry Allen's mom's death.
All right, now let me jump in here, Ralph. Let me play the part of the audience here who hears you say the Reverse Flash and only thinks...
Or Professor Zoom, as some of us know him.
And only thinks logically, okay, if the Flash moves super fast, the Reverse Flash is the slowest man in the world?
No. No, set him straight, Danielle.
I think he's the opposite of Barry. He's bad. Everything about him is evil and bad, so he's the Reverse Flash.
Yes.
But now, he's as fast as the Flash?
Yes.
All right.
Probably faster.
That's what I'm saying.
Except
probably
more
faster.
Oh.
Now, but we don't know as of yet who is Professor Zoom, what presence he has on the show, but we have to believe it's Dr. Wells, right? Tom Cavanaugh. He's got to be the Reverse Flash.
We definitely don't know. Wait till you see tomorrow night's episode because Dr. Wells interacts with the Reverse Flash.
Because Dr. Wells has some tap into the future. We know that for sure, and we know Reverse Flash comes from the future.
I mean, you guys have to tune in tomorrow.
All right.
She's
not going to crack, Ralph.
Now, but get this, because in the comic books, the Reverse Flash, Professor Zoom, is actually Edward Thawne, and that is the name of Iris West's current boyfriend, who is Joe West, her dad's partner.
What?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That's unbelievable.
So we have to watch tomorrow night's episode is what you're saying.
You have to watch tomorrow to find out about the Reverse Flash.
All right. Let me ask you this. Dr. Caitlin Snow, in the comic books, also known as the secret identity of a villain known as Killer Frost.
That's correct.
Is that a question, Ralph?
That is correct. I'm just saying, does this bode something that we might see your character developing as in the future?
Hopefully we get the opportunity to. I mean, right now, we're just really exploring Dr. Caitlin Snow and all the work she has to do with Barry, but you never know what could happen in this world.
And, plus,
everybody who's being affected, it takes some time for the symptoms to show.
Well, it looks like your boyfriend may be back, by the way.
It's so exciting. If you watch the crossover episode, at the very end, you get a sneak peek. Ronnie is back.
A little Firestorm action. Yeah. A little Firestorm.
He's a bad dude. He looks like a bad dude.
He's not a bad dude, but he's a good dude. Firestorm's a good dude.
I don't know.
That's one of the great things that we explore is whether or not he's good or bad and what's happened to him, because obviously Caitlin is so thrilled and excited that her fiancé's back, but unfortunately he's not back in the way she thought he would be.
No, he does tend to burst into flames.
Well, there's just that. It's hard to find a good man these days, Ralph. hey, Ralph, can I ask a question?
All right, feel free.
Every actor signs up for a show thinking it's going to be good and hoping that it's going to be successful. Very few are both. You guys just must be kicking yourselves every week when the ratings come out that the show is growing and growing. I mean, didn't you just have your highest rated episode ever last week? I mean, this must be amazing for you guys.
It's really, really exciting. You know, for us, we're in a little bit of a bubble because we're in Vancouver and we're just up there working our butts off, doing the best we can to make the best show possible. But when people are tuning in, and for me, it's also great to be on social media and hear people's reactions and sort of engage with fans. It really inspires us to keep going and keep making a good product.
It's unbelievable to me that you make these shows in 9 days. I mean, honestly, I mean, I know that technology has come a long way, but when you watch The Flash, I feel like, don't you, Ralph, that sometimes you're looking at a movie?
Yeah, the production values are incredible. Production values are just out of this world.
Thank
you so much.
Sorry. I'm just going to back out.
See what I told you. This is what I told you.
My
you're
bad.
Ruining everything.
Kevin, you can't talk to girls. You know that.
I'm out.
All right, Ralph, in our remaining moments, what do you have for Danielle?
Real quick hits. The cast is just so terrific. Of course, Tom Cavanaugh we talked about. Jesse L. Martin is just an amazing actor, and you're so lucky to have him. But the newer actors that we're getting to know on the show, Grant Gustin seems like one of the best guys in the world. He is as charming in real life as he seems as Barry.
He is. It's such a delight to go to work every day because we have so much fun with each other. And, you know, he's so fun. He's got so much energy. He's truly dancing on set every day. He's the best.
Well, we love the show. At least I do. I don't know if these guys are watching or not, but the rest of America is.
I'm a little behind, but I do. I love it.
The rest of America is watching, and we love it, and congratulations. By the way, I'm a longtime fan, Danielle. I was a big Shark fan back in the day and always loved your work on that series as well.
Oh, thanks. So, I mean, I'm a fan of you guys. Every year you ring the bell on my birthday, so I feel special.
Well, a woman can't ask for any more than that, can she? Danielle Pennebaker is awesome on The Flash. She plays Caitlin Snow, and it airs Tuesday nights at 8 on the CW. Do not miss it. And by the way, if your appetite has been whetted by this conversation, you can get them on demand. You can watch them on the CW website. It's definitely a show you want to catch up on and be current with. Danielle, so nice to talk to you. Thanks for the time today.
You guys too. Thank you.
Are you tweeting out your appearance, Mr. Siciliano?
I am. Were you guys going to get mad that I'm using my phone?
No. I just wondered what was going on, or if you have hose in all the area codes, or what you're doing down there. That's all.
No, not this early in the morning. What time is it? Jeez, it's a Monday at 8:30.
So how do you feel with week 14 behind you of the DirecTV Red Zone? Are you starting to get excited about having your Sundays back soon, or are you kind of sad that the season is winding down?
You know, I was thinking about that this morning. It's a little bit of both. There's a little bit of, I can't believe it's almost over. And a little bit of, geez, it's going to be awesome to sleep in on Sunday morning.
Have a weekend again.
Yay, everybody. Be able to go out on Saturday night. But I guess you could say I'm excited for the playoffs. I'm excited to see how this thing ends, you know?
Well, let me start with, because we've got a lot of action we need to talk about from the weekend. Let me start with this. And we talked about this a little while ago on the air, too, but I want your take. You're sad that the Bieber curse isn't real, right? We were all hoping that the Patriots would suck last night because of
it's
Bieber.
It's real.
Why? What do you mean? It's real. They won.
I don't know.
It's just the Patriots are good enough to overcome it, maybe.
Yes, they are good enough to overcome it. They are good at football. They overcame it. The Cavaliers were not good enough to overcome it that opening night. The Steelers are not good enough to overcome it. But if you go back and look at that photo, I mean, did you guys really look at that Gronk and Bieber photo from a couple of nights ago?
Not
at the
really.
Game?
I mean,
two worlds colliding that never need to be near each other.
I don't
ever.
Understand why any athlete
why
would hang out with Justin Bieber. Really, I don't.
I don't get it. I mean, wouldn't you have a handler running behind you, shooing you away?
And what about Floyd Mayweather, who apparently is actually friends with him?
Well, Floyd doesn't see, here's the difference, is that Floyd, I don't want to call him a genius because he's actually a bad guy. But what
he is a genius bad guy.
He's a genius bad guy. Yeah. He's like an evil comic book bad guy cartoon batterer person, right? So
right.
What he does is he brings Bieber into the ring with him so that he opens his fan base up to the, I don't want to use the N-word, the Bieber Nation, whatever they call the Bieber fans.
Like, don't use the N-word.
I mean, what do you call Bieber?
The Beliebers.
Okay.
I think it's Beliebers.
Right, and so when he comes into the ring, it's evil marketing genius for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because then you have 12-year-old girls all over America trying to convince their dad to drop $90 on pay-per-view.
So that they can see Justin sitting ringside.
It's genius.
Gotcha. He's using Bieber.
He's using Floyd uses everybody.
Yes.
He's a user. Anyway, where were we?
I don't know.
Just talking about the Bieber curse, that's all.
The Patriots won because they're the better team.
Okay.
And because Mike McCoy, with 6 minutes to go, inexplicably, rather than go for it on fourth and short near midfield, gave it away, punted back to the Patriots, and the game was over. He decided, nah, we'll let you take it, rather than actually gambling here and going for it and trying to do something positive against a team that was better than you.
Is not gambling a cover my ass, I still need my job, because if you gamble and lose, it's on you?
No, he's not getting fired. He's in his second year, took him to the playoffs last year. They're a good team. They're 8-4 coming
well, then
in.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't get it. You played it safe. Doug Marrone did the same thing yesterday. Doug Marrone's the coach of the Bills. They were in Denver, fourth quarter, roughly actually a few minutes less. I mean, it was like 4 minutes left on the clock. And he decides to punt it away to Peyton Manning. It was just suicide.
Huh.
Suicide.
I want to talk about the one of the biggest surprises. Actually, two of the biggest surprises of the NFL season collided yesterday, and that's that the Raiders actually won two in a row, right? And that the 49ers...
No, not two in a row. Two out of three.
Two out of three. Okay.
They got shut out last week, giving up 50.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And that the 49ers... But we never thought they'd win again after that, after the way they looked that night. But that the 49ers are as bad as they are. What's happening in San Francisco?
All right. So the 49ers look like dead men walking.
They
didn't want to be there.
They are.
No, they have far too much talent to be that bad. I don't accuse anyone of quitting.
Kaepernick was terrible.
It looks as if they've checked out, and it looks as if that ship has sailed on Colin Kaepernick. I'm not suggesting he's RG3. I'm done with him. Quite the contrary. He's put together a couple of good games this year.
Right.
But when you have Raiders calling you out in post-game locker rooms, calling you chumps, which is what C.O. Moore, the linebacker, did. And C.O. Moore, if you want to go back 2 weeks ago, he was the guy that was dancing and celebrating when they thought they'd beaten the Chiefs, and the game really wasn't over, and they had to call a timeout to save his butt.
Yeah.
He was the one calling Colin Kaepernick a chump yesterday. It looks as if Jim Harbaugh is gone.
Is that right?
Everyone says Jim Harbaugh is gone.
And let me pause right there. Jim Harbaugh, the man who has gone to, what, three NFC title games in a row?
Including one of them to the Super Bowl.
To the Super Bowl, right. Exactly.
Which and they almost lost, won.
But still, I mean, that's a pretty remarkable track record.
It's a remarkable track record, but it seems
like...
So
why is he gone based on what's happening?
All right, so he and the front office don't get along. He and ownership don't get along. He's a very difficult guy to get along with.
Yeah, that's the word.
He is the definition of a red behind, as most people would say. And he's not happy. They almost traded him to the Browns in the offseason. They could deny it all you want. They almost traded him to the Browns in the offseason. If he had decided to go along with it, he would be head coach of the Cleveland Browns right now.
Wow.
And he, a lot of people think, is going to be head coach of the Raiders next year.
Do you think that would be a good move to get rid of Harbaugh?
I think, well, first of all, you're not going to find a better coach. I don't think. But I also think that after a while, it just wears you down. You knew from day one that his style would eventually wear you down.
Meaning the guys just stop responding?
And it happens, by the way, with plenty of good coaches.
Yeah.
It happened with Don Shula. It happened with Chuck Noll. It happens with Bill Parcells. It happens with all the great ones.
eventually, you just need a change. And you always see it. You hire the guy that's exactly the opposite. You go from the jerk. Not that Harbaugh is the jerk, but he can wear on you.
Sure.
To the softy. And then you, they're not responding anymore. He's too light on him. So you go back the other way. It happens.
So his players have lost confidence in him at this point.
I don't know, lost confidence, but it didn't sure look like they were playing for him yesterday, did it?
They played terrible. So when they go into Seattle next weekend, are they as fired up as they've ever been and they're going to play phenomenal football, or are they just sad sacks who don't deserve to be in the game and they're going to suck?
I think the Seahawks win it. I think it'll be close at one point and they will pull away and you'll look back and say, what has become of the 49ers?
Yeah. Wow. It's sad. I mean, they have been, you know, last year I think they were, you know, one of the two or three best teams in football. So it's been quite a turnaround.
Yeah, but again, we sit here on Monday morning and say we don't know anything. Because if you had given me money last week and said you have one team to bet on that will lose every game the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it would be Oakland.
It would have been either Tennessee.
Oh, all right.
But it probably would have been Carolina. Carolina checked out. They were done. And they just dropped 40 on the Saints.
Yeah.
So anything we thought we knew, we don't know.
All right. Exactly. We don't know anything.
We know nothing. We're
dumb. And Andrew is the expert. He is the host of the Around the NFL on the NFL Network afternoons at 3 and the DirecTV Red Zone channel. Much more to come right after this on K-Rock.
We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio talking football. I have a clip of maybe the best play in football yesterday.
What?
Flag is laid down. Robbie Keane! Yes! The Keen killer instinct still razor sharp.
That's a different kind of football.
And he gives the Galaxy the lead.
Nope, that was soccer. That was soccer. That's not the kind of
won
football
the
we're
championship
talking about.
Yesterday for the right, fifth time. About,
congratulations, by the way. That was pretty cool. And
that
by
was
the
awesome.
Way, all the people on Twitter need to calm down. I wrote, because I see it during Red Zone.
Right.
That they win, I'm happy, certainly.
Right.
I'm not the biggest Galaxy fan. I won't pretend to be one, but yay, good for them.
Congratulations.
So I wrote congratulations to the – I said, we don't have a football team here, but we do have a football, F-U.
Right. Football.
Right? Right. Football
you
team
put
F-U, here.
Though?
No, if you no, put I, F-U, I actually okay. spelled the whole word
okay,
out.
I got you. All right.
And then I get all this negativity on Twitter. It's called soccer. You know what, people?
Yeah.
Calm the hell
calm
down.
Down. Yeah, I agree.
Stop it.
Agreed.
Just shut up.
And I was so happy for Landon Donovan, who's been
absolutely
a frequent guest on the show and is the most important U.S. soccer player in history. And I'm so happy to see a guy in any sport go out on top like that and win in his final game as a professional. So I tweeted something about it. People are tweeting me like, why aren't you watching the Seahawks, man? It's possible to do two things at once. You can be happy for the Galaxy and also still be watching something else on TV.
Just
right?
For the record, at 10 a.m. yesterday, I was watching 9 games at once.
Yeah, well,
that's
yeah.
right. You were.
9. So we can do it. It's possible.
Right. Let me ask you a couple of things. I never heard you mentioned the Panthers-Saints route, which was the most unexpected result of the weekend. What was the fight all about? That looked like a pretty serious brawl. Oh, do you know what they fought about?
So Cam Newton scored a touchdown, and Cam Newton was chirping a little bit. And then he did his Superman thing, where he feigns opening up his jersey to show the imaginary S. And he did it right in the face of a defensive lineman for the Saints. So they started talking. They started shoving. That was good because the door opened up to the tunnel. I mean, they were banging against walls there. I mean, you had stuff coming down.
I always find that funny, though, that they have the most padding of any sport.
Yes.
Their heads are completely protected. What are you fighting? Like, how?
Well, no one's throwing punches. If you throw
one
a punch
guy
at another man, he did get kicked out. But it wasn't necessarily. Was it really a,
I think
like
it
a
was
right?
I think so.
I didn't see that.
I just saw the highlights.
Brandon Williams
I wasn't
got
watching the
that.
Game. I watched the highlights. So yeah. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Look, they
and then Cam it, and then Cam does the other little thing where he pretends like he's taking a picture. You know,
yes.
He's like, hey, take a picture. That's how awesome this is or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we should be surprised knowing how pumped up these guys are and how much adrenaline and how competitive they are. I guess we should be surprised that there aren't more brawls in football.
Well, to Kevin's point, there's a lot of padding.
Yes,
also,
the brawls don't do anything. You can't hurt a guy.
There are also a lot of penalties and fines if you get ejected.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's not good.
It ain't cheap.
Yeah. That's right.
It is not cheap.
All right. A record wasn't set yesterday, but it doesn't happen very often. The Rams, their second shutout in a row. Very infrequently this happened. The Redskins could not have looked more woeful, right, Andrew?
All right. There's two sides of this. Number one, yes, what the Rams did was amazing. Only the 15th time since the merger a team has pitched back-to-back shutouts. The Rams play the Cardinals, hey, Kev, on Thursday night in St. Louis. And if the Rams shut out the Cardinals, which watching the Cardinals yesterday is very possible, it would be the first shutout streak of three games for any team since 1976.
Wow.
That would be quite a big deal.
That would be.
That's
on
crazy.
On the other side of it, the Redskins are an absolute dumpster fire.
Who will quarterback Thursday night?
Well, we don't know because Colt McCoy had to go get his neck checked out afterwards. There's a chance it is the return of the RG3.
You can tell how badly it's going for the Redskins when fans are starting to ask for RG3 to come back.
Yeah, they were chanting it, right?
Fans were chanting it at the very end. Fans were wearing paper bags over their heads. There's one sad shot that got around Twitter yesterday of the fan with a ripped paper bag where you could see his face under the bag. They can't even do the paper bags right in our nation's capital. That was pathetic. But here's the thing. There are more rumblings there because the coach Jay Gruden is done. He is done with RG3. You are dead to me. Go sit in the corner.
Wow, that's
done,
crazy.
Right?
How fast that happened.
However, there is still the belief that the GM and maybe the owner, although the owner stayed silent on this, want to see RG3 again, which means there are already rumblings that Jay Gruden could be out after 1 year if he doesn't put the teacher's pet back at quarterback.
But the teacher's pet at quarterback has been terrible.
Right, but here's what none of us understand, those that get football and don't get football, is that 2 years ago, the teacher's pet was spectacular.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was spectacular.
Right.
I mean, this wasn't just a flash in the pan, or maybe it was, but the point was...
So
you
was Tim Tebow, by the
you
way.
No. Okay. They're much, 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 much different.
All right.
Much different.
Take it easy.
RG3, sprinter speed, and a cannon for an arm. Granted, yes, it was a simplified offense, but nobody could stop it, and he made spectacular plays. Tim Tebow looked like he was throwing a folding chair in a bowling alley fight. But somehow, every now and then, somebody caught the... Hey, did you see it half time of the college game Saturday, they have that Dr. Pepper scholarship thing where they have the kids throwing the ball into the hoop, right?
Right.
Try
right.
to win the scholarship, and they're throwing it underhand or two-hand. That's what Tim Tebow looked like throwing the football, right? Those two-hand push things. Robert Griffin throws a fantastic football. So you look at him and say, wait a minute, you have to be able to get at least halfway back to how good you were 2 years ago.
You would think so.
And that if this coach, although we all agree, what you've seen this year is worth benching him. If this coach doesn't want to try anymore, then maybe you need to find a coach who will at least try. We'll
see.
So
they bring in another coach, and RG3 has another shot at it. And if he fails...
Which makes you a dumpster fire, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. All right. You recycle coaches every year?
Yep. We're almost out of time, Mr. Okay. Siciliano. Let's talk about America's Game of the Week yesterday. I think it was one of the most anticipated.
Flag is laid down. Robbie Keane! Yes!
It wasn't the Galaxy. It wasn't that.
The Game of the Week! Killer instinct.
It was.
He's still razor sharp.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
And he gives the Galaxy the lead.
You said the best game yesterday.
The game of the week was the NFL's best defense going into a city where a team had been scoring 35 points a game at home, and that was Seattle versus Philadelphia. Your takeaways from that game, please.
Seattle, I guess we wrote them off a couple of weeks ago, right?
Well,
we were kind of wrong.
Because they weren't any – we didn't see the flashes of brilliance from last year even.
That defense is ridiculous. And the offense ran 85 plays. And you could blame Mark Sanchez all you want. He did not play a good game in any way. That was a punch you in the mouth. We're dominant and we are better than you. Performance. The Seahawks, they've gone to the East Coast now three times. You know, the cross-country trip, that is a horrible trip. They are 3-0. This is by far the best team they have beaten making that cross-country journey. This was a 9-win team that was racking up the points, that went into Dallas last year on Thanksgiving and just ran all over the Cowboys. That said, we are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and we can win on the road, which we proved last year.
Yeah.
But if we have to do it this year on the road in the playoffs,
we can do that.
We're good enough to do it, because last year they were at home in the playoffs the whole ride.
I know that there are lots of really, really bad teams. You know, I know there's the Raiders and there's Tampa Bay and there's Jacksonville. But this year there are so many really good teams that there are going to be some teams that in other seasons would have absolutely made the playoffs that are going to get left behind.
Yeah.
I mean, even now when you look at, like, the Cowboys, for instance, what, they're seventh seed right now. I mean, not everybody's going to get in that you feel like deserves it. That's what's going to be so crucial about these next couple of weeks.
Look at Arizona yesterday. If Arizona had lost, they would have gone to 9-4. You think, oh, that's good. But they a lot of people thought they would have just fallen right out of it because it would have started a downward spiral. Look at the Lions.
But they didn't.
But they didn't. They won. The Lions have 9 wins, but most people assume the Packers win tonight and win easily, right, over the Falcons.
Yeah.
The Lions are in a position, if they win out, they win the division because they get Green Bay.
And that's three more games?
That's 3 more games. Oh, okay. But at 9 wins, they could very easily right now go 9-7 and not make the playoffs. Who else is in there? And then you're going to have an NFC South team in all likelihood, 8-8 at absolute.
At best.
Best.
Yeah, they should just eliminate the AFC South. Just shouldn't let them in the playoffs, just on principle.
Well, look, 4-8-1. The Carolina Panthers are 4-8-1. They're a half game back.
That's crazy.
They're a half game back.
That's insane.
And the Falcons tonight are going to lose in Green Bay.
By 40 or 50? What's your thought?
I'll say 21.
Okay.
And they are
going to be safe.
They're
going
to fall to 5-8. And they will be once again tied atop that division with New Orleans at 5-8. Carolina is 4-8-1. Just put it this way: Tampa Bay's 2-11. Right? Tampa Bay lost yesterday. Tampa Bay wasn't officially eliminated at 2-11 in that division until losing yesterday. So at 2-10, they were alive in that division.
That's insane.
They were 2 games from the top of the division and 1 game from the first overall pick.
We have some real haves and some real have-nots this year, but I'm sorry we're going to have to leave it there. Andrew continues the discussion this afternoon on the NFL Network at 3 o'clock, and, of course, he'll be back this Sunday on DirecTV's Red Zone channel. And, Mr. Siciliano, we will see you this weekend at Acoustic Christmas, right?
Yes, sir. What do I get, 40 minutes? Guitar? What do I get?
Oh, no, you're not playing.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:57.
Yeah, it is.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. And then we're going to talk Grammys. The nominations came out on Friday.
A lot of K-Rock artists.
Oh, top to bottom. You can't get away from K-Rock.
Dominated.
Well, we do sure play a lot of that Iggy Azalea, that's for sure. So we'll talk with
so
our friend
fancy
from the LA Times coming up. And we got your tickets for both nights on the floor for that thingy this weekend. That's all coming up. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
Here's my take. Of all the major awards that are given out to the major forms of entertainment media, your movies, your television, your Broadway stage, your recordings, Grammys are most BS.
Because of the most obvious, glaring mistakes
that
they make
each year? Year after year after year, there's people going, what the F?
That's true.
So out loud, just furious.
Is the problem, Ralph, you think that they nominate too many things that are popular and not enough things that are good, if you get my meaning? Is that what you mean?
Like in past years, they do best metal, and they would pick somebody from 30 years ago that reissued live whatever. You
exactly.
Go, what?
It just seems like they miss the beam in like on every way. It's not that they go just popular or just high quality. It's like just madness sometimes and ridiculous things and just outright wrong decisions. Invariably, they just did a ton of those each and every year.
Sure does seem like it.
Whereas the Emmys might be, oh, that wasn't my favorite, but I can see why. And the Oscars, a lot of the times, they say, oh, I wish this person had won. I really enjoyed that movie, but I can see why 12 Years a Slave won this award or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's usually in the ballpark. Sometimes the Grammys are just nuts.
How do you feel now a year, and we should save this conversation for Randall Roberts, but how do you feel now a year on that Daft Punk won Album of the Year last year? Do you think that was just they peaked at the right time and they were the hip choice, or do you think that really was the best album of that year?
Well, I didn't hear all the music.
Right. I have. That's a pretty good album.
But I think it was a pretty good album.
I like it.
I mean, it makes a lot more sense than... I mean, look back, see, especially the new artist category.
Yeah.
Look back over the years and see who got the new artist Grammys.
Yeah.
When
they're
Starland really good Vocal at... Band is still carrying a Grammy around. And...
Yeah, they're not very good at predicting artists with staying power in that category. That's for sure.
This is all going to be about Sam Smith, though, right?
I mean, it's got to be his year, yeah. No, I would
for
so.
Favorite new artist, you know, or pop?
Yeah,
or
he'll definitely. Everything he's got to be artist.
She's so fancy.
Yeah.
You can say so fancy.
Yeah.
She is so fancy.
That's up for record of the year. Well, we'll talk all about this coming up.
Okay. I didn't mean to get off on
no
that
worries.
Tangent. But it is Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Once again, this Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 1, very popular with people. People seem to enjoy it.
Yep.
number one again in its third week. $21.6 million it made. Then the Penguins of Madagascar came in at number two with a little over $11 million. Horrible Bosses 2, Big Hero 6, and Interstellar were your top five movies at the box office. Dumb and Dumber 2, The Theory of Everything, Gone Girl, The Pyramid, and Birdman were your top 10 films. Anyone, The Pyramid? Anyone have any light they can shine on The Pyramid for me?
Never heard of it.
Number nine is The Pyramid.
Never
heard of it. It's got to be one of those Jesus films, then, right?
Yeah.
One of those Holy Roller films?
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine.
I don't even know what that is.
I can't imagine no one in this room would have heard of The Pyramid.
Yeah, that's weird.
If it had been anything of any value to anyone other than Kirk Cameron.
An archaeological team attempts to unlock the secrets of a lost pyramid, only to find themselves hunted by an insidious creature. Doesn't sound like a God movie. It sounds
it's
like a sci-fi movie.
Flick?
Yeah.
What the what?
What?
Yeah, there it is.
What?
Good
what?
Good advertising.
Has no people in it that I have heard of. It looks like, you know, low budget or foreign.
Doesn't sound at all like Kirk Cameron's in it.
Nope.
Sure doesn't.
Not at all.
Unless
how about that,
that thing that's chasing him is Satan, and they can only stop it by finding the true meaning of Christmas.
So how did this movie get into the top 10 if none of us have ever heard about it, and it's not a church movie?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question. It's conspiracy. I blame the Grammys.
Speaking
of movies, Pauly Shore has said they're trying to get a sequel to Encino Man off the ground. So if you're looking to support a film... Encino Man 2 is looking for some patron saints. Encino Man?
Anyone?
Encino
Man.
Anyone for a sequel to Encino Man? You remember that movie? That's where they dug up the... They defrosted...
That was Brendan Fraser, right?
Yeah, the caveman was
like,
Brendan Fraser.
It was like 20 years ago, right?
1992. 22 years ago?
22 years. Yeah. No thanks.
Don't you want to see what happened with Encino Man?
Not really.
Boy, he couldn't drive a car. I know that much. He was confused by our modern technology.
That's true.
That happened.
I don't think we need that.
All right.
We already have Dumb and Dumber back. We don't need Encino Man.
I'll let Pauly know that you're not interested.
Thank you.
Today, celebrity birthdays. Katie Stevens, Karma from Faking It. She's 22 years old today. Drew Doughty from your Los Angeles Kings. He's 25. Nicki Minaj, 32 years old. Chargers QB, Philip Rivers. 33 years old today. Ian Somerhalder's 36. Dominic Monaghan, his Lost co-star, is 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, a few minutes ago, Ralph was saying that out of all the major awards that are given out in entertainment, your Oscars and your Emmys and your Tonys, he considers the Grammys to be the least legit, or the most confounding every year, where we look at it and go, these people don't have any idea what the hell they're talking about. Let's find out what our friend Randall Roberts thinks about that. He's the pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times. Hey, Randall, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you're right. They don't know what they're talking about.
Are you as frustrated and as confounded by the Grammys every year as many of us are?
Yeah, I'm as frustrated as and confounded in those four big categories. You know, when it gets deeper into the genre categories, I'm less frustrated, but those top four categories are always baffling to me.
I think I know what you're saying, because a lot of the acts that we like, you know, the acts that we care about, you know, like Alt-J and Spoon and, you know, bands like that, they do eventually show up if you cut the categories down, you know, into all, you know, there's 100 of them or something like that. But they do seem like they just focus on whatever's on AMP radio right now is what they're going to put in the top four categories, right?
Exactly, exactly. It's Pharrell Williams, Sam Smith, Beyonce, Iggy Azalea, Taylor Swift. It's not a very surprising list, and it's definitely not a very cutting-edge list. It's all pop.
I do think it's worth saying, though, that just because something is popular doesn't mean it's bad, and just because something is pop music doesn't mean it's bad, too. That's not what you're saying, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. They're amazing. I mean, the songs of the year, I'm a big fan of, as far as pop goes, you know, Sia's Chandelier, I just think is a wonderful song. I'm not a fan of that Hozier song, Take Me to Church, but other people are. That's also nominated in Song of the Year. Sam Smith, you know, I feel like he's kind of the new Adele at this point.
Yes. It's hard to find somebody who doesn't like Sam Smith, even if that's not your kind of music. You look at him and you go, my God, that guy's got a great voice.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Although, am I the only one who, I always get that Tom Petty song stuck in my head. I Won't Back Down, which is has the same melody as that, but that's just me, Stay With Me.
Oh, you mean Stay With Me, yeah.
Yeah.
You're suing him for plagiarism.
Exactly.
You mentioned the Song of the Year, and I know people get confused every single year. So the Song of the Year, that's a big one. That's one of the major five awards that the Grammys gives out every year, and that one goes to the songwriter. And then the Record of the Year is the one that goes to the artist, and there's a lot of crossover this year in the category with the Fancy and with the Chandelier and with the Stay With Me and the Shake It Off and the All About the Bass. Do any of these stand out? Any of these songs stand out among the others, or does it really kind of not matter who wins in those categories?
I don't know. Are you guys fans of Shake It Off, Taylor Swift?
Very much so.
I admire it because whenever I say the word Shake It Off now, it's stuck in my head for a day at least, and there's something to be said for this.
Randall, let me tell you something serious about this. Kevin hates Taylor Swift inexplicably, but let me say something to you. Music fan to music fan, and you tell me if this is legitimate. One of the things that I like about Shake It Off is it's clearly an autobiographical song written by one person with a point of view, as opposed to so many other songs that seem like they're interchangeable and it doesn't matter which artist records it. At least Taylor's song is a Taylor song.
Yeah, you're very, very right.
That doesn't make it good.
I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah!
I do admire her, but, you know, I don't pop on a Taylor Swift album just for the heck of it.
I never take a Taylor Swift album off. All right, that's the difference between you and me. All right, let me ask you this question, and you tell me if I'm reading too much into this or if this is a legitimate problem this year or many years at the Grammys. Five artists in Record of the Year, five artists in Song of the Year, five artists in Best New Artist, all of them are white. Yet I feel like we live in a hip-hop and R&B world to a large extent.
Yeah,
is this a problem for the Grammys?
Oh, sure. Certainly it is. Certainly it is. I mean, Album of the Year, Pharrell Williams. But yes, it's an issue because
Beyonce is also an Album of the Year.
Yeah, that's true. But you wonder who the voters are, and that's one of the frustrating things, is that, yes, there are 2,000 voters, but we don't really have a sense of who exactly these people are, what their demographics are, whether they're all in their 50s and 60s, and they're kind of picking blindly in the pop stuff.
That's my feeling, is that there are people who are out of touch that are just guessing.
They go, oh, I've heard of that person. They must be good.
Yeah, it's true. And, like, you know, all respect to Tenacious D, but they're nominated for Best Metal Album, and that's kind of weird. I don't know. I mean, it's Tenacious D.
I hope they win that.
It's true. But,
I got to be honest, they're the best band in the world.
I know, I love Tenacious D. Don't get me wrong, but, you know.
But it's the Grammys.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin brought up Beyonce. Yes, she is African-American, and she is nominated for the Album of the Year. And I got to say, that Beyonce album was everywhere and everything until Taylor came along a couple weeks ago. Beyonce was the best-selling record of the year. I don't think you could escape anywhere this year not hearing Flawless, not hearing Drunken Love.
Uh-huh.
Why do songs like that not make the cut for the individual nominations, though?
Yeah, I don't understand that either, especially Beyonce. Everybody around here at the LA Times is huge fans of Drunken Love, and we all had that on our list for, like, one of the best songs of the year. You know, just as far as just a shocker that sticks into your head.
Well, I mean, certainly if she's nominated for Album of the Year, there has to be a good song on there that you would think would make some of the other categories.
Yeah, it's true. You're trying to explain and understand the Grammys when that's not really.
Yeah. How come you don't get to vote for the Grammys, Randall?
Well, because I'm the critic here, so I'm not supposed to vote.
How come we don't get to vote?
That's a good question.
All right, let me ask you another question, and this is to Ralph's point about the legitimacy of the Grammys in terms of major award shows. And we're on the phone right now with Randall Roberts, pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times. When the Oscars come around in a couple of months, there's no question that Boyhood is going to get a Best Picture nomination and very likely win the Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that was not a box office hit. That barely made any money at all. Why are the Oscars able to do that and just nominate something that's critically acclaimed and not commercially successful, yet the Grammys don't?
Well, I think the main reason is there's so much music released every year, and there aren't that many films released every year, and so people can agree on what a great movie is, but you know, nobody can agree every year what the best album of the year is, because there are hundreds, if not thousands of releases. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Grammys is should as much be an award for the marketing departments and for the advertisers and for the people who place the songs on radio and stream. I mean, it's this huge group effort to get these songs in the top 10 or on people's lips. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with how well the records are marketed. And
yeah, that's
also
that's
great songs, you know. I mean, a great song should be nominated, and a lot of times is. And those songs that everybody, that resonate with everybody, mm-hmm. the ones that 20 years from now are going to be played at the high school or played at the reunion dances, those
right.
are the songs that kind of the Grammys honor. And,
yeah, that's true. It is interesting. You talk about the marketing. I mean, you do get the impression that an indie record just doesn't have a chance at any of the major categories, right?
No.
It's just
because
they just don't have the muscle behind it.
Yeah, for me, Seasons, that song by Future Islands, Seasons
right.
Change.
Could I hear more of that, please?
Oh, I'd be happy to. That to me was such a like a strange breakout song, and nobody ever could have predicted. And they're not nominated for anything, but they're also on a small label. They don't have that marketing muscle behind them, and I don't know. Stuff like that happens all the time.
I know we're running out of time, but let's talk about Best New Artist quickly.
Yes.
Iggy Azalea, Bastille, Brandi Clark, Haim, and Sam Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Take everything you've got, go to Las Vegas right now, and put it on Sam Smith, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But
definitely.
They're the Grammys, so we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Sam Smith, although I'm really happy that both Brandi Clark and Haim got nominated. I like both those records.
Hey, it was a big year for women.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, we're going to have to wait till February 8th when the Grammys are on to find out any of the answers to any of these questions.
Yeah.
The show will be broadcast live on CBS. You can read Randall, of course, on the LA Times website, also at Pop Hiss. You can follow him on Twitter at Lil Edit. Is that a new Twitter handle since the last time we talked to you, Randall?
That's L-I-L Edit.
It's still terrible. You know that, right?
That's not a good...
No, it's the best. Like, Lil Edit. No, hey, congratulations, you guys. I just heard the good news about you being in the Hall of Fame, being nominated for...
Yeah, that's absurd, right?
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations.
It's the drinking Hall of Fame, though, right? Yeah, that news just came out, like, within the last hour. This is the National Association of Broadcasters, which is the trade organization that represents radio and television across the country. They induct one person or show from radio every year, and... somehow they screwed up, and we ended up being chosen, and I guess we're going to have to wear a suit and give a speech in Las Vegas next year, Randall.
That's so huge.
It's kind of weird for us.
Congratulations.
Right now, there's a lot.
I'm so honored to be talking to you guys right now.
Right now, there's a lot of people going, what's wrong with that organization? They're just not accurate about what they're talking about. They don't know anything.
Seriously, why aren't they nominating the good shows? All right, Randall, you do great work. We really appreciate it every time we get a chance to have you on. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm sadly lacking.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe
I was all by myself.
You
I
were
sort of
all by myself. Don't want to hay all by myself anymore.
Hey, Ralph is here.
When I was young,
I
never needed anyone.
All right, stand down
and
here, Celine
hey
Dion.
Hay was just for fun.
Hey, listen.
Those days are gone.
Kevin's trying to get warm and fuzzy here, Ralph. Give him his moment.
Oh,
he wants to be all serious for a second.
I just want to thank everybody that helped with Friends and Helpers.
Okay.
Because we had a big event yesterday. Helped over 10,000 people. And everybody that donated, time, money, anything that you donated, thank you to every single person that helped.
Except for that one guy.
Yeah. Is it true or is it not true that you're in the warehouse putting everything together, getting all the packages together to donate to the families that need them about the holidays? And every time somebody came up to talk to you, Kevin, you said, shh, listening to soccer on the radio.
Maybe.
Kevin has his headset on.
Robbie Kane! Is still razor sharp, and he gives the Galaxy the lead.
I couldn't go to the game, so seriously, you can forgive me for listening, right?
Of course. You couldn't get tickets. That was the problem. You didn't have any tickets.
You what?
It was
It was the big charity day.
Yeah.
Was it noon? We did it from 9 to 3.
Lord helps those who help themselves. Just pass that little pearl along to those people.
I'm impressed that Kevin made the choice he did to stick with the plan and get the charity
his
day.
His wife
instead
would
of going
have divorced
to
him if he'd made the other choice.
No, she actually would have been okay with it. And I'm a little embarrassed how long it took me to make that call till like Thursday. Literally before I finally said, I can't go. Anyway, thank you to everybody for helping. We totally appreciate it.
All right, time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
We done with that part of the show?
All by myself.
We're done with that part
anymore.
I thought we were just pausing that.
Hopefully we were wrapping that up as well.
Look, the news is broke. I might as well just get it out there and say congratulations to Kevin and Bean. They have been honored by the National Association of Broadcasters this morning. The press release hit all the major media outlets. Kevin and Bean being inducted into the National Association of Broadcasting's Hall of Fame.
Yay! Now, until you said that, I kind of thought it was a joke and we would finally find out that
it was Jimmy
just
Kimmel.
A big old Jimmy Kimmel
slow
joke.
Slow clap.
Big slow clap.
But Bean. I guess not.
The press release is out there, and thank God it mentions people who used to work on the show.
It doesn't mention...
Jimmy Kimmel has been mentioned, Adam Carolla, and Chris Hardwick gets a big hearty mention.
Just
along
so
with
you
Kevin
know, Ralph.
In the press release.
Just so you know, they came
everyone,
to us.
Everyone who works here on the show, we almost say we're glad that those guys who don't work on the show any longer are getting their props, because they certainly deserve it, and they certainly have been putting in a lot of work for the past 15 years to make the show as
Ralph
successful
Garvin.
As it has.
They came to us for... All right, Anderson, it's not that funny. They came to us for background, and we wrote...
We wrote a whole paragraph. No time here.
We wrote a whole paragraph about great Ralph Garvin.
We know how it
is. Lisa May.
We got it, buddy.
And Dave and Christine.
I know,
Chip,
Andy. Isn't that the case?
Everybody was in
the whole crew. Now the whole crew is laughing.
And they cut it.
Absolutely.
It's not
that funny.
No, it is.
But I think why they included the other part about the people who don't work here is because most people have never heard of the Kevin and Bean Show. And I think they're trying to give it some context as to, this is a show that famous people come from. Those that are talented enough to get out.
The people have spoken. Kirk Cameron's movie Saving Christmas is the worst film in history.
Wow, that's a pretty big category, isn't it?
Well,
worst film in history.
It has a 0% approval rating amongst professional critics on Rotten Tomatoes, and now it is the most purely rated film by the American viewing public on the Internet Movie Database, meriting only 1.3 stars out of 10. So it's got worse ratings on IMDb than Disaster Movie.
Wow.
Glitter with Mariah Carey.
Really?
Battlefield Earth.
Wow.
Less than all those. So congratulations to Kirk Cameron and the rest of the God Squad. You have, in the Lord's name, created the worst piece of movie making in history.
We mean just highlights of that.
Does it say why it's so
bad? We can't find it anywhere.
Really?
It's not on VOD anywhere.
It's gone?
No, it's still in theaters. But there's no place where we can watch it in order to get clips from it and then play them on the air.
Really?
Unless you sneak a recorder into a movie theater.
And let's be honest, we're not going to do that.
Well, I told Dave, I said I'd be willing to go if it's close to my house. I'm not going to like make a big trek for it. But no, apparently it's in places nowhere near me because they know, the Dark Lord is watching over me. So they know
true.
I'm a lost cause. But
I wonder what's so bad about it. I mean, just dialogue, acting,
apparently
everything?
It's just acting, that's directing, writing, lighting, music, sound. That's all. Just those things. Other than that, it's great.
Because in history, there have been some horrific movies.
Yes.
And somehow this beats them all.
This is the one that everyone seems to think they can agree on. It's craptastic.
0%, by the way, is almost impossible to achieve just because somewhere out there you'd think there's somebody who really likes Kirk Cameron.
That's
you know,
right.
Who would give it a 3% just for that.
I know.
We'll figure. Kirk crazy.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes.
Bill Cosby. Apparently he's not a good person. I'm just starting to get a little idea that maybe he was not a good person. Playboy bunny P.J. Mastin has come forward on Friday and claimed that Bill Cosby drugged and assaulted her in 1979 at the Chicago Playboy Club when she was working there. She also claims there are a dozen other
Playmates and Playboy employees who this also happened to, but they are afraid to come forward. A dozen former bunnies that I know of, she said, with similar stories, but they haven't come forward yet, so we'll have to wait and see. If the tally continues to climb, we are well over, you know, if you count this dozen in, it's 40-ish women now.
That's crazy.
Either have come forward or be being talked about as we speak. So.
And by the way, not to make it worse than it is, but if that many have come forward, I'm sure there are still a lot who aren't comfortable making it public.
Yeah. On a Friday, by the way, Bill Cosby's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame was defaced. Someone had scrawled the word rapist on it three times.
Mm.
So the...
That's an ugly story.
That is an ugly story, yeah. But speaking of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce and the Walk of Fame, they do good work. Not everybody who gets their star is a bad person. Like Peter Jackson, he's a good person.
Sure, he deserves it.
And he's getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. in front of the Dolby Theater at 6801 Hollywood Boulevard. Peter's films, of course, include The Hobbit and the that other one where everybody
Lord
walked
the Rings,
around
Lord of the Rings.
With the dresses on. Yeah.
That's how he likes it to be referred to.
King Kong, Lovely Bones. So if you're a fan of Peter Jackson's work, you may want to go out there at 11:30 a.m. this morning in front of the Dolby and see him get his star. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dominic Monaghan's 38 years old today. Actor Ian Somerhalder turns 36. Chargers QB Phillip Rivers turns 33 years old today. Nicki Minaj celebrates her 32nd birthday. L.A. Kings defenseman Drew Doughty is 25. And actress Katie Stevens, Karma, on Faking It. She's 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman on behalf of Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, and Chris Hardwick. That's the Showbiz Beat.
Ralph, I want you to hear me. I promise you.
I don't have time or energy for this conversation.
We really did. Kevin, back me up on this. We did write a glowing paragraph about all the great people who helped put this show on. They severely edited what we gave them to put their press release together. I promise you that.
Congratulations, Kevin and Bean.
It's sort of funny.
Hall of Fame.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean
Standing
show.
Standing
We have Royal Blood on the program.
Love them so much.
Creator of Sons of Anarchy, Kurt Sutter, will be here talking about...
I will also be talking afterwards with him after show.
Kevin tweeted the other day that Kurt Sutter is the greatest creator ever.
Yep. Beats God.
I believe that.
Beats God.
Okay.
That creator. How about Tyler, the creator?
Is he greater than him? Tyler's pretty strong.
He's right in his name.
My bad. And the Victoria's Secret model, Lily Aldridge, will be on the program tomorrow. Ralph, I'm going to need you to be in here so that Bean can't turn that into a We Love Taylor Swift break.
Oh, right.
She's on
they
the
are
show.
Best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, call Chris Hardwick. Maybe he can help you out with that.
We'll see you tomorrow.